last weekend. So if you were with us last weekend, we talked about what's in the name on Saturday, and on Sunday we talk about the witness protection, hiding under his name. Amen. So I quickly want to ask you if there's anything you want to add to that, the last session on the witness protection.
Well, viewers, thank you again for being with us today on this Knockout Citizen Prayer. As you know, we've been exploring the model of prayer that Jesus gave us. And then where we stopped in last transmission is witness protection, hiding under his name. And then let's just say one or two things to just, in a way, round off on that particular transmission before we move on fully into what the Lord has for us today. And then you would notice that we did stop at the point where we actually emphasize where we as Christians have to come before, not just before the Father in the place of prayer, but we have to come before life itself. And that's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, it's not said, don't just limit this to your prayer time. Do all in word and in deed in the name of Jesus. There was an example that we were about to give before we went off. And then, you see, there was a particular case of where David actually sent his men to talk to Nabal in the Bible. That's specifically 1 Samuel chapter 20. You might want to read that quickly so that our viewers can get this. 1 Samuel 25 verse 9.
It reads,
yeah, what does it say?
And when David's young men came,
David's young men, not David, David's young men,
they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased.
Can you see? Now that's amazing. He said they spoke to Nabal in the name of what? David. Now, to understand the significance of that statement, in 1 Samuel 25, verse 9, at the time that Nabal rejected those men and humiliated them, when the news got back to David, you can take your time to read all of chapter 25. We don't want to spend too much time on that because we're going quickly to what the Lord has to say to us today on this, because we're going further with the Lord's prayer. But there was one thing. When those men were rejected, in David's own words, David said it was him personally that was rejected. Because the Bible says those men went in David's name, specifically in David's name. They were there, but in reality it was David that was there speaking to Nabal. So you see, this is how names are in reality. You need to understand the power and the potency of speaking or acting or doing things or praying in the name of Jesus. And I would to God that if the Church of Christ, Christians in our days, understand the weight and the gravity of this, we would never take ourselves from under the protective custody of that name. And then let us conclude with this statement. Now, we have said this before, let's re-emphasize it again. It's not about just chanting and shouting the name that indicates that you are hiding under the name. If that's the case, there'll be no need for this transmission today. Because virtually everyone that is in church, everyone that prays, always say in the name of Jesus. So if that was the case, we would not be having this transmission. The reason we're having this transmission is because we have come to the understanding that it's not just chanting the name. According to what Peter said in Acts 3:16, it is putting faith in the name that makes things happen. It's putting faith in the name that makes us come to the realization that we are standing in the stead of Christ, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that everything we are saying, everything we are doing, is as if Christ is the one doing it. That's what the devil sees. That's what the enemy sees. And he hopes that we don't take advantage of such a grace that we have in praying, speaking, acting in the name of Jesus for our very life. Yes. So, yeah, you
okay,
want to say.
Yes. Yeah. You know where to go to listen to all these episodes. There wasn't a name.
Yeah.
You know, or the prayer season, you know, people, maybe some people have forgotten that we are talking about the Lord's Prayer.
You don't forget, yeah, that's where I was going to go. For, I mean, by the time we continue with the different aspects of the Lord's Prayer, I was going to re-emphasize that anyway. So please go onto our page. You can go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/expose, X for xylophone, P-O-S-E, 247. Or you can go to our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/expose, this time around E-X-P-O-S-E 247, and avail yourself of all these titles we've been talking about. Now, as we progress today, now we've been looking at the model of the Lord's Prayer, and we've said, unfortunately for some Christians, they have taken the Lord's Prayer, uklan and sinka. Don't forget the fact that they asked Jesus. They said, teach us to what? To pray. And the Bible makes a statement. Jesus said, after this manner. You know, after this manner means after this model. I wanted to use it as a model. And if I gave you something to use as a model, if you are a student, or you're somebody in a place of work, and somebody tells you, this is a model I wanted to work with, and you repeat and give it back to them exactly, they'll probably think that you're not very smart if you do that. If you just repeat back to people exactly what they gave you as a pattern, you're meant to use that as a backdrop, as a, you know, as a platform to come up with something based on that model. And that's what the Lord's Prayer was meant to be. And again, before we continue today, because we might say some things today that might be surprising to you, or that might not actually, in a way, sound consistent with things that you know. Well, we have to simply say that we, our authority is in the Word of God. The Bible says we need to receive with meekness
the engrafted
Word that can save your soul. Now, the reason why some things might sound a bit strange to you, let us put a note of warning quickly, is because don't forget the Lord's Prayer is not a new covenant prayer. Because Jesus had not yet shed his blood. He had not yet poured out his blood unto death. And he told them in the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus said straightforward, he said, the new covenant in my blood. It means until his blood was shed, there was no new covenant. We know that. So it means the Lord's Prayer was what I would call a transitional prayer between the old and the new. And it's in that understanding that we have to approach it. That's what we are looking at today. So follow us quickly as we continue into Matthew chapter 6. Okay. Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 6. And then we'll continue with this model of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at and see what the Lord has to say to us today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 from verse 10 and let's see what he has to say there.
Thy kingdom come.
Now that's the next phrase. Now the last phrase, let me just remind you, for viewers who have been following us on this Lord's Prayer, the last phrase we read was where it says, Hallowed be thy name, and praise be to your name, significance to your name. And that was what led us through all the investigation of the name of the Father. And that's what we have actually gone through all those past three transmissions. So the very next statement in the Lord's Prayer is what we are looking at, trying to expatiate and see what the such light of the Spirit is going to reveal to us as the mystery that Christ was passing across in this model of prayer. See what it says. Now verse 10, what did he say?
Your kingdom come.
And that's it. That's the phrase. That's the phrase that will unlock what the Lord has to say to us today on this Knockout Series on Prayer. Jesus did say to the disciples that when you are praying, as soon as you talk about the name of the Father, as soon as you sanctify and set apart the name of the Father, in verse 9, you need to make a bold declaration, your kingdom come. What's the relevance of this to your prayer life? What's the relevance of this to you as a believer? Making a proclamation for the coming of the kingdom. I would like to call your attention to key words. There are just three words in that phrase. There's a your, and then your talks about possession. We know this kingdom is not your kingdom, it's not my kingdom, it is the Father's kingdom. So Jesus was trying to tell the disciples that before you came on the scene, before you began your prayer time, somebody had a kingdom, and it's not your kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It is his kingdom. So he said, your, and that's the first thing, possession. Tells you that we are not even, it's not ours. And the second thing he said is, he said, you have a kingdom. He's talking about the Father has a kingdom. And then the third word in that phrase is, he said that kingdom has to come. It would mean then that kingdom had a location before, and then he's asking that kingdom to move from where it is to a new location. Those are three points in that phrase that we're going to explore today about this kingdom of the Father. That Jesus said the disciples are supposed to what? Declare that it's meant to what? To come. Now the question you want to ask me is, I mean, ever since this prayer was prayed before Jesus went to the cross, has the kingdom come yet? or what? Because, you know, like I said, anytime you read the Lord's Prayer, every time you pray in quote the Lord's Prayer, we need to put our spiritual senses to work to make sure that we are not actually putting a new wine into old wine skin. Has the kingdom come yet? Let's see what Christ has to say about the kingdom, and let's see the relevance of this to your prayer life. And that's what we're going to look at today. Come with us quickly as we begin to use the pages of the scriptures to explore the relevance of this to the prayer life of a believer. Let's go quickly to Matthew 11. Again, this your kingdom come, this bold declaration of the kingdom. How does that fit in into your prayer life as a new covenant Christian? Matthew 11. Let's see what it says. Matthew 11 from verse 11. Can you read that slowly, please? Yes, please.
Verily I say unto you.
Okay, verily I say unto you.
Among them that are born of women.
Yes, among them that are born of women.
There are no reason they greater than John the Baptist.
That's interesting. So Jesus said, well, let's talk about those who were born naturally. And I want to think that if you're watching this today, you are thinking, well, among those that are born of women, is that not how everyone is born? Why is Jesus trying to categorize people that some people are born of what? of women. You will have thought, what kind of statement is Christ making when everyone literally
is born of,
women? I mean, of course, if you want to exempt Adam, anyway, I mean, apart from Adam, come all the way down to now, you would suppose everyone is born of women. Even for those people, apart from Adam and Eve, I mean, even if you're going to talk of people who talk about having the case of doing some kind of medical, technological advancement in the way they give birth to children, they still have to, in some cases, use the egg of what? Of the woman, the ovum of the woman. They still have to use a woman. Even if they actually grow the egg in the lab, they still have to get something from the woman. So the fact is, what is Christ trying to say? But he's saying among those born of women, he says John the Baptist is what? Is the greatest among them all. And that's really amazing. It means he's saying put everyone, Elijah, Ezekiah, Isaiah, Abraham, you know, all those people, all those men who actually shook kingdoms in the Old Testament. The Bible says, of all of them, it says Elijah, John the Baptist is the greatest of what? Of them all. Well, what is not our interest today is to investigate why Jesus said he's the greatest of them all. Well, that's not what we're looking at. I mean, there could be a better time and a better place to investigate that. But what we are saying is, Jesus saying for those that are born of women, who are naturally born, he said the greatest of them is John the Baptist. And then the reason why I was trying to talk about Elijah the other time is because Luke 1:17 did say that John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And then we know in Malachi chapter 4, he did say that before the great and terrible day of the Lord will come, I will send my prophet Elijah before your face. And then most theologians believe that that was the coming of John the Baptist to actually be the one that will actually announce the coming of Jesus. Even some still do believe, there are some school of thoughts that still believe that Elijah will come again. But again, but that's not what we're looking at today. Again, we see of those born of women, is that the greatest of them is John the Baptist. Now watch the next statement. Don't forget, we're looking at the implication of the coming of the kingdom for your prayer life. That's what we're looking at. How does that knock out some wrong ideologies that we have brought to the place of prayer? Now what does it say in the next phrase, please?
Notwithstanding. He that is least. In the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, good. It would mean that John the Baptist was not in the kingdom. Now, he's contrasting. Now, you know, when you speak words in English language, we have words and what? And opposites. It would mean that Jesus is trying to paint a picture before us, which sounds a bit strange if you don't even think about it deeply. He's saying, well, there are those that are born of what? Women. And in the opposite, the other side, are those that are in the kingdom. That's interesting. It would mean, he says, it's contrasting those born of women to those who are what? In the kingdom of heaven. It would mean that the opposite of being naturally what?
Born
is to be in the kingdom. I didn't say that. It was Jesus that made a comparison. You don't use nevertheless. You don't use otherwise unless you want to talk about the opposite. So the opposite of naturally born or being born naturally by women is that you are in the kingdom of heaven. That's the opposite. Now some pictures are beginning to paint out right before our face of what this kingdom coming might actually mean. So it says the least in the what? In the kingdom of heaven is what?
Is
greater than John the Baptist. So, the first contrast we see is, to be in the kingdom, you have to go beyond being naturally what?
Born.
That's what we see. To be in the kingdom, you have to go beyond being just born of a woman. It didn't say, if you are born of a woman, you can never be in the kingdom. But just saying, you're being born must go beyond that being born of a woman. So we see that. Now, go on, please, as we begin to read through this.
Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now.
It says from the days of John the Baptist and until now, until the very day Jesus was saying this. What's the issue then?
The kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven. Now, okay.
Suffers violence. And the violent take it by force.
Well, I mean, I've seen people and I've heard people. I mean, actually, this is one of the very often quoted verses in the Bible. And I think it's interesting that this kind of verse is coming up on our knockout series on prayer. Because when people want to scream down on the head of the devil, and people want to scream down on the head of darkness, and they say, yeah, this is the verse that supports the fact that you've got to take it by what? by force. If you're praying quietly or praying silently, how can you actually ever expect to chase out the devil when the Bible says the violence are taken by force? Well, strangely enough, he talks about this violence taking it by force in talking about the coming of the kingdom. I mean, it's about the kingdom. So we have to interpret this violence taking it by force in the context of this verse that it was talking about. And then please, no offense to anyone who might be hearing this, if you've actually thought in the past that this particular verse is about making prayer point. Like I said to you, please, according to James chapter 1, you have to receive the word of God with meekness so that your soul can be saved. And we're going to show you evidence from the scripture what he's talking about. Don't forget that the prayer point that Jesus told the disciples was they should declare the coming of the kingdom. And this one says, the kingdom of God have been suffering what? Violence. Well, it seems a bit very vague. To understand, does it mean that there's violence going on inside the kingdom? Or what he's talking about? Let scripture interpret scripture. I want you to hold on to that Matthew 11. We're going to come back to it quickly because it talks about the coming of the kingdom. Let's go to Luke 16. This suffering violence is a bit very vague. Let scripture interpret scripture. Let us use other scriptures to understand what this is all about. If you go to Luke 16, it would give us another insight. It's the same thing. In fact, Luke just gave an account or the very thing that Christ was talking about. Now, if you read from Luke 16, can you read from verse 16, please? Luke 16 from verse 16, if you take that slowly, so everybody can get it.
The law,
yeah,
and the prophets,
okay,
were unto John.
Now, if you notice, we're going to be swapping between this Matthew 11, 11 to 13, and Luke 16, 16, so that we can get a picture of this, because ultimately we are coming down to our prayer life. Now, if you look at that Matthew 11 again, I think you stop at where it says the kingdom of heaven suffering violence and the violent take it by force. Can you read verse 13, please?
For all the prophets,
okay,
and the law,
okay,
prophesy unto John.
That's exactly what's in Luke 16, 16. So I'm just trying to show you by the scripture that Matthew 11, 11 to 13 is the account that is the same account that Luke gave in Luke 16, what? 16. So it means Luke 16, 16 to verse 17 can then probably give us a better picture of this kingdom suffering what? Violence. Because it was the account of Luke that Matthew recorded as well. So it's we're looking at the same account, not similar, same account. But Luke and Matthew recorded using different words. And that gives us a robust picture of what this suffering violence is all about. So let's look at what Luke, he tends to say about the suffering violence of the kingdom. What does Luke 16, verse 16 say again, please?
The law,
okay,
and the prophets,
mm-hmm,
were unto John.
Okay, but Matthew 11 says they prophesied up until John. Can you see that? So, okay.
Since that time,
okay,
the kingdom of God is preached.
Okay, so we didn't see that. It says from the time, it says right until the time of John. So John was a transition period. The ministry of John is the transition between what is not the kingdom and what is the kingdom. That's the reason why Jesus said that John was not in the kingdom, because he's the least, because he was born of what? Women. But those in the kingdom, they are those people that they can claim their birth was not by women. And we're going somewhere today. So they are those that can claim that they were not born, not just of women, are the ones that can claim they are in the kingdom. And it tells us that right from the time of John, the gospel of the kingdom is what? Being preached. Now, you want to ask me a question. If being born of a woman, as John the Baptist was under, doesn't make him to be what? In the kingdom. If somebody is preaching the gospel of the kingdom beyond John, it makes sense to think that they're preaching a birth that will not be by what? By women. I mean, that's logical. That it's an invitation to get into a new kind of birth. Into a new kind of birth that is not just natural. That would have been whatever that kingdom has been preached. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, now look at what he says in that Luke 16. What does he say there? He said, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man is what?
Pressing
their way into it. Now, we then understand that means then, it says the kingdom, if you check some other translations, it says the kingdom is advancing what? Forcefully. So it means when it says the kingdom suffers violence, it's just trying to say that the kingdom is trying to make progress, and there are a lot of resistances on what? On ground for the progress of the kingdom. That's why it's talking about the kingdom suffering what? Violence. It's not talking about shouting in a place of prayer. It's just saying this particular announcement of the fact that you cannot just be born of women. If you are just born of a woman, you are not in the world, in the kingdom. To be in the kingdom, you have to have a birth different from that world of just being born of a woman. And it says that particular revelation is trying to what? Make its entrance into humanity. And that revelation is actually struggling with a lot of things that are what? On ground. Wrong ideologies, wrong mentalities on ground. It says advancing forcefully. It's a forceful advance because there was something else on ground. You know, let us say this quickly. There is no gospel, there is no message that God actually gives you to preach or gives me to preach. There is nothing that we have been mandated to do in this 21st century that there is not something on ground that is actually a resistance to what you are bringing. That's the fact. Have you noticed? When God spoke to Joshua and said, I've given the land of what? Canaan. You would have thought that when God gave them the land of Canaan, God said, I've given to you as a possession. But think about it. When they got to the land of Canaan, it wasn't empty, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Every time God gives a mandate, in most cases, the mandate of God doesn't necessarily mean there is emptiness on ground. There's always something on ground. Even when God told Adam to what? To replenish the earth. That mandate that God gave Adam, you know, the reason why God told him to replenish the earth, to till the earth, would have to be there's something, there's a resistance on ground that Adam was mandated to deal. And that's the same thing with the calling of God. So when this gospel of the kingdom was being preached to men, the Bible says this kingdom had to what? Advance what? Forcefully against every resistance on ground. What kind of resistance? The Pharisees, the ideologies, religious morality. So many things on ground. I said the kingdom was making a forceful advancement. And I said men are what? Are pressing their what? Way into it. Men are switching sides. Those who were born of what? Women are switching anger. I say, you know what? I can't stay there anymore. I have to move into this new wave. So we can see. What can we conclude up to now? That to be in the kingdom of God is simply that your birth has to go beyond just being born of a woman. Now, we're still going to go back to our Lord's Prayer and say the kingdom come. You have one thing to say?
Yes, it is understandable that this kind of topic is going to generate controversy. And so you can just hit us back with your questions, any comment, anything that needs verification, whether you agree or you do not agree. But God's word remains true, no matter what you feel about it. And also, when you try to dislodge any previous comfort that people have had, especially with Matthew chapter 11 verse 13, people have some special kind of relationship with it. It has been a go-to and comforting scriptures for people during warfare, prayers, and all the likes like that. I'm also talking about John the Baptist not being in the kingdom at the moment. So I will implore our viewers to even listen to this and try to forget what they have been reading about the scriptures and look at it afresh with the eye of the Spirit, and then look at it like the Berean would do. About the scriptures and know if it's actually were so, to understand the difference between being born and to understand what the kingdom thing is bigger than what we think it used to be. At the entrance of the kingdom, where does the evil kingdom start? Where does it start? And why is it so important that no matter what it was part, it came in the first prayer request. Like that, after establishing the relationship with our Father, where you are, and this, hallowed be your name. But in his kingdom must come. So it is something very, very important. So we cannot just go with what we know about it. We really need to understand that we have the correct understanding of what this kingdom is. And as important is it to the Lord. For saying this, the mother prayer, it must come in. It came in as the first request. Even before you want the bread, as important as bread is, the kingdom, the matter of the kingdom needs to be settled first. Break it down. And the Lord was trying to use. We understood how important the ministry of John the Baptist is to Christ. Who is the forerunner? Even they have a cordial human relationship. Is a cousin, you know, that kind of thing. But the Lord was able to say the matter of the kingdom is so much that it can dislodge any family and familiar connection. That no, he's not afraid to offend John. You know, that kind of thing, and say, and then people believe so much in John. You know, they said people will go, it's a voice in the wilderness, people will leave the city to come and meet John. So it's not somebody, it's not just like an entity or somebody, a minister unknown or something like that, it can just say something to dislodge. So you understand how the people view John the Baptist, how people saw him as the Elijah that is to come. But we see Jesus was just bashing the ministry of John such a way by bringing in the kingdom, to understand that the kingdom is a heavier and weightier matter. So we'll pay attention. It will be good for you, for our viewers, to pay attention to this, the kingdom matter, and people should forget the familiarity and forget and not be emotionally connected about this. So people should just forget about the emotions and let us use the scriptural sense to understand what this kingdom is all about. And now it's important in our prayer life.
Thank you for that insight. Now, I wanted to understand the fact that where was the fault of John? Why would Jesus say he's the least? Jesus said when you talk about the kingdom, John is the least. What was the fault of John? Well, it wasn't that John committed any sin, as it were. Jesus just said the fact that if John was just limited to being born of what? Of a woman, of which he was. He said that's why he's very small. And it says, for, I mean, for those people, there's some people that will go beyond being born of a woman. They will be those in the kingdom. So we see that. And so we have seen one thing, which is this. You know, the reason we're talking about this, because next time, if you begin to say your kingdom come, people sing songs about the coming of the kingdom. People make prayer point, prayer declaration. Let your kingdom come, Lord. I mean, you could have prayed that prayer before. Yeah. But of course, you're going to pray about something. You should at least know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if you don't know what you're talking about, then it's hard to have faith for what you're praying for. And that's what we're talking about today. So we have made one thing clear from the scriptures before we go to the next verse. In Matthew 11:11 to 13, in Luke 16, verse 16 to 17, the thing that we can see is Jesus contrasted the kingdom to being born of a woman. That's one thing we see. And the second thing that we see is Jesus said that John became the transition period. That before John, the law and the prophets were prophesying. Now, if I may ask you the question, what were the law and the prophet prophesying about? Because we need to know, if there's a prophecy that is given to you or given to someone else, prophecies are given to people. They're not given to just empty space. It's about somebody or about something that will happen to somebody. Now, if the Bible says the law and the prophets prophesied until John, it might interest you to know, what are they prophesying about? Then, you see, because of time, you might want to read Luke 24, verse 45. We can read that quickly. I mean, we need to know what they are prophesying about. And Jesus said, beyond John, the prophecy of the law and the prophet had to stop. No need for any more prophecy. I mean, what are they prophesying about? What does it say, Luke 24?
Verse 25.
Yeah, verse 45, please.
Okay, it reads, then open ye their understanding,
yeah,
that they might understand the scriptures.
Now go on, please.
Verse 46.
Yes.
And said unto them,
yeah,
thus it is written,
yeah,
and thus it is behold,
yes, please,
Christ to suffer,
okay,
and to rise from the dead the third day.
Okay.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among,
okay,
all nations,
okay,
beginning at Jerusalem.
Okay, yeah, go on, please.
And ye are witnesses of these things.
Yes, please.
And behold.
And that you might, go on, please.
And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you.
Now, before you go on there, can you just go to verse 27? The same Luke 24, verse 27. Now, watch this. Luke 24, verse 27, what does it say?
And beginning at Moses.
Beginning at Moses. Now, you can replace the word Moses with the law. The reason why I said that, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, the law came through what?
Moses.
So you can say, beginning at Moses, which is beginning from the law. Go on, please.
And all the prophets.
See? The law and the prophet, that's what Luke 16:16 said. That's what Matthew 11:13 said. You can see the consonants there. Go on, please.
He expanded unto them in all the scriptures.
In all the scriptures.
The things,
uh-huh,
concerning himself.
Okay. So then we know, when the Bible says in Luke 16:16 and Matthew 11:13 that the law and the prophet prophesied until John, we know they were prophesying about who? About Jesus. Jesus said, beginning from Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them in this Luke 24:27, everything that was said concerning him. So all the prophecies of the law were concerning Christ Jesus. So it means the Bible says the law and the prophets, I'm quoting Luke 16:16 and Matthew 11:13, prophesied unto John. And as soon as John the Baptist showed up on the scene, the law and the prophets stopped prophesying. And there's a reason. Because the person you're prophesying about,
exactly,
has showed up. I mean, you don't, for example, it's just common sense. If you actually are writing or trying to paint a picture or promote something, and the thing you're promoting showed up, what are you promoting again? It's already here. It's just like people making an advertisement, I mean, about a program, and the program has actually started. What are you still advertising? It's already, so the law and the prophet just shut up. Because all what the law and the prophet were referring to is now on the scene. That's why I said they prophesied until John. Until John, they stopped prophesying. What does that mean? And he said from that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been what? Being preached. Now, does that not tell you that this kingdom we are talking about was being ushered in by a person? Was being ushered in by Jesus. Now, he is the one that ushered in this kingdom. And then the question we are asking is, this prayer, the kingdom come, what is the relevance of that to you as a Christian? Now, we have made one point known. Before we go on to John chapter 3, which is the next verse we are looking at, the point we have made known is, for you to be part of the kingdom, you cannot just be born of a woman. That's what we've seen that. Now, let's go quickly to John chapter 3. Now, praying your prayer, the kingdom come, how is that relevant to you then? John 3. Now let's see. You can read from verse 3, please. John 3:3. What does it say, please?
Jesus answered and said unto him,
yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Now watch this.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of
again,
God.
Again, it says, does that not sound relevant, then? Relevant to the Mark 11:13 that says, if you are born of a woman, you are not in the what? In the kingdom. No, Jesus said, unless you are born the second time, you have to go beyond being born of a woman. Now you can talk about you are seeing the kingdom. Which is why John the Baptist was the least, because he was just born of a woman. And so now he's saying here that except man be born again means, what was the first being born? The first one is you were born of what? A woman. It says you need to be born again. There has to be a new one. That's why we cannot start talking about the kingdom. So this is now showing you the relevance of the scriptures. Talking about the kingdom now. It means then, this kingdom matter we're talking about, I want you to get a picture in your understanding of where it started for you. You need to know where it started for you. Where this kingdom started for you. We need to know that. If you're going to actually lay hold upon the significance of that prayer point in Matthew 6:10. Now, can you go on, please?
Verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him,
okay,
how can a man be born when he's old?
Okay.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Can you see why it says men are pressing their way into it? Men are trying to live that revelation upon their head, because it's not, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to the natural man. It says men are laying hold. Men are pressing their way into that kingdom. Now go on, please.
Jesus answered,
okay,
verily, verily, I say unto thee,
mm-hmm,
except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That's born of the born of the Word and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Go on, please.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Okay.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Okay. Now, go on, please.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Okay.
The wind blows where it listed, and there is the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's it. That way, so we don't see the reason why it means then. From what we have read in John 3, from verse 3 to verse, I think, 6 or 7, it means you need to be born again, or born of the Spirit, for you to claim that you are in the what? The kingdom. If you are born only once, you're born of a woman, you are like John the Baptist, you are not in the kingdom. But if you are born beyond a woman, and you are born again, which is what Jesus said, born of the Spirit, now you can claim that you are what? In the kingdom. Now, these are the two positions you can be. Now, there's a good news I have for you today. Jesus said the least, the lowest person in the kingdom is greater than the greatest person who is not in the kingdom, who is John the Baptist, who is not in the kingdom because he was just born of a woman. Now, we begin to get a picture now. So it means when you are praying the prayer in Matthew 6:10, as somebody, a believer in the new covenant, and you say, your kingdom come. Now, the prayer is relevant to a very good extent. But what you have to understand is, if you are not just born, if you are born of a woman, and you are not born of the Spirit, it means you can be saying that, Lord, let your kingdom come into my life. But the Bible says, if you are born of the Spirit, he says, no, you have already seen the kingdom, and you enter the kingdom because you are born of the water and of the Spirit. And some people teach and say, well, there's a level of spiritual work you need to have with God for you to actually, they say being born again means you see the kingdom, you've not entered. To enter the kingdom, you need to be born of the water and the Spirit. And the question you want to ask is this. The Bible did simply say as a Christian that you are, or that God is the Father of your spirit. Is that okay? Yeah. You are already a new creation in Christ. You are born of the Spirit. You are not born of what? The flesh. How did I know that? Because John 1 tells us that what? He said he came unto his own, talking about Jesus, and his own did not receive him. I'm quoting John 1. But he said to them, watch this, that received him, not to them that will receive him later, he gave them the right of the power to be called the Son of God. Now watch this. He said, not born of flesh.
That's verse 11. I think we should read it.
Okay, you want to read it, please.
John 1:11. He now came unto his own.
Okay.
And his own received him not.
Okay.
But as many as received him.
Okay.
To them he gave him power to become the sons of God.
He gave them power to be born the second time. If you want to say that. To be born again. Okay, go on, please.
Even to them that believe on his name.
To them that believe on his name.
which were born.
Now, look at their qualification. Look at their CV. So then they were actually born again. Now, watch number one. Born of what?
Not of blood.
Not of blood.
Not of the will of the flesh.
Not the will of the flesh means they were not just born of a natural descent. If you check some translations, it will say they were not born of natural descent, not of woman, just like John the Baptist was. Go on, please.
Not of the will of man.
Not of the will of man. Huh?
Not of God.
But of God. Can you see? He says they are born of God. I mean, they were given birth to by God. When he says not of flesh, if you notice, anytime he says not of flesh, it means they are born of what? The Spirit. Because the Spirit is always a contrast of the flesh. Now, what are we trying to conclude? We're trying to simply say, Jesus said, if you are born of what? The Spirit. That means you have entered the what? The kingdom. So for you as a Christian, for you who is born again, for you is born of the Spirit, according to John chapter 1 verse 11 that we have read, according to John chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 7 that we read, if you are born again, the Bible simply says you've already entered what? This kingdom of God we are talking about. And for those who are not in the kingdom, they are just people who are just born of women, according to Matthew 11:11-13. So it means for you, when you are praying, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life, that's the kind of prayer point you're going to be careful about when you're praying that prayer. I mean, what are you talking about? If you are claiming, let your kingdom come in your life, let your kingdom come, you are simply saying, Lord, I think I'm just born of a woman. I'm not born of the Spirit yet. I'm not born again yet. I'm still going to talk about other aspects of the kingdom, but I'm just saying primarily as a Christian, you could not be a Christian. You could not be born again. You could not be born of the Spirit unless you agree that you are actually what? In the kingdom, according to the word of God. That's what we see here today.
Yeah, it is good that you know that you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, you are born and you have entered into the kingdom. And the better thing, the better news is that if you are feeling very little in the kingdom, it tells you are greater than anyone outside in the kingdom. If you are really feeling little and you don't find any significance to the new birth, to the rebirth, what is it? And people are trying to say, no, maybe you need to do more and more and belittling. That is the thing. For people to aspire to something else, it has to belittle the experience that they have. For them to be thinking, I need to get more, and then for them not to appreciate what they know. So I want to tell you that what happened at that bath is something magical. You know, that is it. Even the host of heaven rejoice when you enter. You know, that is, there is a procession for you. So don't let anybody tell you another second level walk of grace and all those kinds of things and belittle your experience. The rebirth experience is a very great experience. It's something that was confounding to Nicodemus. Just like Ray was, how can this thing be? Just like Mary was saying, how can this thing be?
That's what it says. Men are pressing their way into it because it's just beyond the human calculation. They say men are pressing their way into that kingdom. That's what it says.
So just like when Mary was confounded when he got the prophecy for the birth of Jesus, and it's about battle, and we're talking about battle, how can this thing be? It is just beyond. And that's what Nicodemus said, how can this new birth be? It is something great. I want you to appreciate that what happened. And again, I want to draw our attention to every other minister that have been preaching, people that have been preaching, their administration stop on to John. You need to understand that and the update. The knowledge and understand the kingdom experience so that you can be of blessing to people beyond that, so that people can be greater. You can pump people to a greater experience by understanding and updating the knowledge, and even to understand that what the prophet and the laws, what you have been preaching, must actually be Christ. So any law and prophecy that does not point to Christ is just a waste of exercise. And then you need to update the knowledge so that people can come to the greater experience that the Christ is here now. And so all our points, all our messages must point to Christ.
Amen. Now, you see, you might be wondering, where are we going today with this today's transmission on the Calcedes on prayer? How is this connected to your prayer point? Well, it's everything about your prayer life. Now, the reason we're saying that is, think about this deeply. In the natural world, I mean, if you're listening to this today, you believe, I presume you belong to a particular country, or you belong to a particular nation where you live at the moment. Even if you don't live in that nation, you carry a passport of a particular nation. I mean, of course, I mean, everybody comes from somewhere, except for some few people who actually are stateless. But there were those exceptions of people who are stateless. Everybody comes from somewhere. You carry a particular passport. Some even have dual citizenship. Now, I mean, what does that mean? It means that you have access. I mean, there are rights and privileges that particular nation or country that you belong to
confers
that on you automatically. People go all the way to a great length to actually buy their citizenship like Paul in the scriptures. He actually got his Roman what? Citizenship. And there were some things, some rights and privileges that Paul had that, you know, other disciples or other apostles, they didn't have it because they didn't have Roman citizenship. In fact, when Paul was being beaten, Paul reminded the soldier who was doing that. I said, do you know that you are trying to beat a Roman citizen? It means that citizenship or being part of a nation presents to you or gives to you some certain rights and privileges that other people from other countries might not have. Now, this thing we're talking about today is all critical down to your prayer life. This is the reason. Because every time you approach the Father, have you noticed that before the statement that give us what? Our daily bread. The question is, who are you to ask your daily bread from the Father? Are you? Do I know you? The Father will be asking you, on what basis, what rights and privileges do you have to be asking the Father for your what? Daily bread. This is an opening point to the strength of your prayer life. He's trying to tell you, there's a kingdom. And this kingdom, you are part of this kingdom. He's asking disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. But in your case, if you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, if your birth is not just limited to that of a woman, the Bible says you have been ushered in into a new kingdom. And if you're ushered into a kingdom, it makes logical sense that you have rights and privileges being a citizen of that kingdom. And that's why Jesus talked about the kingdom matter in the Lord's Prayer before he began to talk about you making demand for a daily bread. Can you see that? So that's why anytime you pray, anytime you seek the Father, the question is, what rights and privileges do you have? You need a kingdom mindset in order to be able to have the faith that you need in a place of prayer.
And it makes sense to for you to ever feel entitled and feel like you have a right to benefit, just like the benefits of the cross. You really have to be part of the kingdom. That is the thing. Well, so you cannot be entitled to any benefit or anything.
You know, there's something you just said now. There's something you said, and I think that's very interesting. That actually brought up a scripture in my spirit that I've never thought about, even about this transmission today. And thank you for that. Now, there was a time they were collecting taxes, you know, and then Jesus was actually confronted with the disciples, and they asked him to pay tax. And, you know, Jesus said something. He asked the disciples. He said, the men of this world, I mean, from whom do they collect taxes? He said, is it from the children or from the slaves? And then they said from the servant. And he said, that means the sons are what? The sons are free. Can you see that? There are some rights, some privileges that are accorded to you because of your citizenship. Now let's say this quickly. There are some countries of the world that if you go there to those countries, if you travel there and you're an immigrant in those countries, you can work your whole head off. In fact, you can keep working morning and night trying to make ends meet. But there are some people who are citizens of that same country where the immigrant is working. The reason why they get some benefit or some right without stressing themselves out is simply because they claim that they were citizens of what? That country. I'm trying to show you, to give you a picture in the natural, what the benefit of citizenship can actually accord people. And the Bible is simply saying, if you're going to come before the Father in the place of prayer, and you begin to say, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Christ is saying by the Lord's Prayer, let's instill into you a kingdom mindset first. Let's instill into you a citizenship mindset first, before we start talking about our daily bread. You see, we must follow the order of the Lord's Prayer if we're going to actually not fall for wrong ideologies in the place of prayer.
I just pray and hope that our viewers will be able to wrap their mind on this thing, because their freedom is tied to this understanding of this kingdom thing. Mm. You know, it's just like the saying about the tax collection and everything.
The sons are free.
So to know that if you don't know the knowledge of what we are sharing today and feel like, what is this about this? Let's go into give us the daily bread. You're joking with your liberty. Mm. Because the freedom then, that was when I was all answered and shut them out. Mm. The sons are free. So how would you know that you are free when you don't know that in the kingdom you have the right to freedom? And the same thing that Jesus was saying when he went to the temple, I saw the woman that was held bent, well, is it for 18 years, that was in the Sabbath, I said, who's? It is daughter of Abraham, and that settles it.
Mm.
Because it is the kingdom, with the kingdom right, you should not be bent.
Mm.
That is the thing. So there's something, some of the things that people are praying about and being on mountains, and we are not discrediting prayer. We are not saying we should pray always. We know the scriptures. You know, we've been on occasions in prayer, talking about prayer. We'll continue. But some things that people are praying about, you just need the knowledge, knockout, that Jesus will say the sons are free and put everybody in their place. Mm. So understanding this kingdom, the kingdom mentality sets the freedom that is puts you in the understanding of the freedom and the liberty and settles it. It's just like a punchline for it. It's the woman was set free because understanding that he's the daughter of Abraham, and because of daughter of Abraham, where he belongs, he should not be headbound that way. And it's short the matter of those of the sons are free. So you should be free if you understand that you are part of this of this kingdom. So your liberty, your freedom, your benefit, they are tied to this knowledge of your citizenship. So if you don't know that you are one of God, that you are part of this kingdom, so you really you don't even know where to go. You don't have the confidence. You don't even know you are entitled.
Now, thank you for that insight. Now, viewers, can you see what we are talking about today is simply based on the fact that we're saying unless we settle kingdom understanding, prayer will be a struggle. And that's why it is coming into the Lord's Prayer that Jesus made reference to this before his disciples, before the very next phrase about making a petition for daily bread. Now let's say this before we continue. And the fact is, we are exploring the fact that according to the scriptures, being born is what separates those who are in the kingdom and those who are not in the kingdom. I guess people talk about, like you are talking about, second walk of grace. Third walk of grace, fourth walk of seventh level of attainment. Well, like we said, the punchline that we are using in this knockout series is the Word of God. I mean, that's why we are comparing Scripture with Scripture. If you have another Scripture you can show us, we'll be happy to, we'll be glad to actually look into it. But Jesus said, for those who are born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. But he said, for those in the kingdom, there will be those who are laying claim to have been born that is beyond just women. He said those in the kingdom. So those in the kingdom will have to be those people who are not just limiting their being born to just being by a woman. So if you are born again, it means you are born the second time. This time around, not by just a woman. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. You are automatically in the kingdom. There is no middle ground about it. That's what we see there. So it means the kingdom of God is in you at the moment if you are born of the Spirit according to the Scriptures.
And we want to emphasize again that what we say, you can only be born by of God. If you are not born of God, then every other birth. Some people might say, okay, apart from being naturally born of women, they have some birth by attendance. Some are just saying they are equating the attendance in any religious organization and how their titles and everything, equating as if they are part of the kingdom. We just only find out from today that the only reason why you can get into the kingdom is
to
be born.
There's no other way to get to the kingdom. There's no, in fact, years of service doesn't get you to the kingdom.
Titles.
Now, we have scripture with John 3, emphasize that again. John 3, even going beyond Matthew 11 to 13, go to John 3. John 3 says, except you are born, you can't even see the kingdom.
Even that John 3 was talking to Nicodemus, which is a man, a religious man.
So, yeah, so
that,
Nicodemus, that, you are not in the kingdom. That's Christ was saying, was, doesn't really matter what you've been there for years, you are not in the kingdom. He said, Nicodemus, all you get into the kingdom is so straightforward. Just be born again. That's what he's saying. Just be born again. And then, so we can see that. So it means if you are born again and you are listening to this transmission today, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead for your justification, if that's what you believe, is that what you confess, you are in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you as we are talking today. But of course, like most things work in the realm of the Spirit, like things work in God's kingdom, if you don't know what you have, if you don't know where you have been brought into, you will not be able to get the benefit of that which you're already operating in. So it's one thing that you have been brought into the kingdom. It's a whole different thing that you understand your status and your situation and that you can lay hold of that benefit for your life and destiny. And that's what we see there. Now, you want to say one thing?
Yes, if you are not in the kingdom, the door is not shut now because it's the Lord that has the power to shut the door. Because if you remember the story of the Noah Ark, it was God that shut the door. So no man can shut the door for you. So you have the opportunity today to be in the kingdom and come into the kingdom to understand you accept Jesus, and that is the way, just like we were explaining in John chapter 3, born of the Spirit, to come into the kingdom today to be partake. That is your citizenship route. So you can partake of all these benefits. Don't shut yourself out.
And quite unlike some other religions and some other people who claim that they have a way to God or a way to the Father or the way to spirituality, who tell you there are seven esoteric steps for you to attain and for you to get to that level and get to that level. All that Christ was saying is
the way, is the
as
God.
Long as you are born again, you are born of the water and the Spirit, say you're in the kingdom. That's what Christ said. It's just that straightforward.
And it's so easy.
Nobody can take credit for it. It's the work of God. I mean, just receive it. And he said, he came unto his own, and his own did not what?
Receive.
He said, to them that what?
Receive
him. There's nothing like, you can't even boast and say, well, I attained 7 steps of spirituality. He said, to them that I receive, that's all. How easy it is to receive?
And receiving is so easy.
He said, to them that I receive him. So the receiving there destroys every ego of man. Receiving means, that's why 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I mean, he said, if you have received it, he says, what do you have that you have not received? He said, if you have received it, why are you boasting about it? So when you receive things, you don't boast. Because receiving is doesn't exalt you as a receiver. You only exalt the giver. That's the point. The Bible said the borrower is a servant to what?
To the lender.
The person that receives is always saying that the person that gives is greater. So the Bible says you are called to receive this new birth. And if you are called to receive it, he said it ushers you into the kingdom. Let's look at more testimonies in the scripture.
You can do it where you are. You
can do that right where you are today and come right into the kingdom of God. So what we are trying to say today is, as a Christian, when you are praying the Lord's Prayer, when you say, your kingdom come in my life, or let your kingdom come into me, well, you got to think twice when you pray such prayer points. Like I said, we're still going to talk about the kingdom to come. But we are starting from the first principles, that for you already as a Christian, the kingdom has come in you already. You are in the kingdom already, to start with, the spiritual kingdom. Look at Galatians 1. You want to say one thing?
Yes, for people to already in the kingdom, we've settled that. For those who have already shown the way for people to get into the kingdom, for those who are not in the kingdom. Well, we just want to take our mind back to that matter that said, thy kingdom come. Because some people are in the kingdom now, and they felt like because of what is happening to them now, and because of the assignment or what, they already felt that the kingdom is theirs. We want to know that this kingdom is not, and already have a megalomania perception of themselves as if they are the kingdom. They represent their kingdom and not the kind, but it is their kingdom. So we just have to understand
it's that God's kingdom.
It's God's kingdom.
It's not
no
your
matter
kingdom.
What you do or what you have become or whatsoever, for a failure of the kingdom, do not be deceived. Do not be carried away, sort of, to know that it is kingdom, it is his. It is his kingdom.
That's it. Not your kingdom. It is the Lord's kingdom. Every kingdom built by men, every kingdom that men have set up, they will disappear. It's a matter of time. The Bible says in 1 John 2, and in verse 14 to verse 16, it says what? It says, the world is passing away with its lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. It means that. It's saying things will fizzle out. It's a matter of time. But there's a kingdom.
Empires will
That's why the Bible says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12. That's amazing. He said, let us serve God with reverence and fear. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything will be shaken anyway.
Empires
They will come and go. Look at Colossians 1. We're looking at the relevance of this to your prayer life. Colossians 1, you can read from verse 13. Now watch this.
Who are delivered us from
now,
the power
now,
of darkness?
Now, I want to take note of the tenses of the scriptures. If it's a present tense, past tense, or continuous tense. It said, who hath delivered us
from the power of darkness.
So he starts with Paul was talking about the believer. Go on, please.
And has translated us.
And has translated. It means he has shifted our position. He has shifted our location. Yeah, what does it say?
Us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Can you see that? Of course, if you are still doubting the testimonies you've had in the past, about 10, 15 minutes, trying to convince you as a Christian that you cannot use prayer point to transfer yourself into God's kingdom. I mean, you can't use prayer to say, Father, today, I'm going to pray all night prayer and declare that the kingdom of God must come in my life. Kingdom come with fire upon my destiny. Well, I mean, that kind of prayer, if you're not careful, you are trying to say, Father, I don't really believe what Christ did on the cross. I want to use my prayer point to make this happen, because the Bible simply says here that Christ hath, can you see, who hath delivered us from the dominion of darkness and hath translated us, he has moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. So this is clear-cut scripture to say if you are a believer, you are in God's kingdom already. You are right inside that kingdom if you're a Christian. That's what it says there.
Verse 14, verse 14. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness.
He said that's all is needed. I mean, if you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus and your sins are what? Forgiven. He said there goes your prerequisite requirement to enter into the world,
into the kingdom.
So you are in the kingdom, if you are listening to this. It means, the good news is, you have the rights and privileges of your citizenship.
Yes.
That's the point. You have been born into God's kingdom. You have the rights and privileges of God's kingdom.
Our citizenship.
See, our citizenship, it means, if I may say this to you then, it means it's high time you go to find out the privileges and the right of your citizenship.
Yes.
Can you see that? It's time to find out. So that when you come to the Father in the place of prayer, you are talking kingdom. You are thinking kingdom. You are reasoning kingdom. You are not talking like somebody who is an immigrant into that country. You are not talking like somebody who has a temporary residence in that country. You are talking like somebody, you are talking somebody who has been translated, who has been moved. You have been permanently moved. Some countries have a kind of status. They call it permanent residency. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, you have a permanent residency. You have been moved, translated, pastors, from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, there's something I wanted to contrast here today. And I want to look at this contrast. The Bible presents the opposite of being the kingdom. And I see when you read the Bible, it's better to get a better picture of the revelation of the word by looking at the opposite of what he's saying. The opposite can make you appreciate better what the reality is. Now the question is, he's saying here that if you are translated into the kingdom of his dear son, it means you cannot be under the dominion of darkness. If you are in the dominion of darkness, you are not in the kingdom of his dear son. You cannot believe both. It's either this or that. If you are just born of a woman, you are under the dominion of darkness. But if you are born again, you are in the kingdom of his dear son. Now, if you are wondering, are there some 10 steps or 25 logical points or some anointing meetings or some conventions that I need to wait for to move me into the kingdom of God's son? Well, you might want to check verse 14 and verse 15 that says all that was needed was you have needed redemption through his blood, having your sins forgiven. He said that is all that is needed for you to really say, oh, it means I'm no more under dominion of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of his dear son. Can you see how this changes how we pray? This changes how we approach the Father in the place of prayer. Now, I'm wondering that you might be thinking that, well, thank you for what you are saying to me today. You are hearing this and then you are listening to this. You are wondering, thank you for this. But my experience shows that there's so much darkness around my life. I mean, there's so many things that I can point to and I can see evil patterns. Where I am or in my family or in my background or in my situation, I can see darkness. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Well, the reality of that is the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. What that means is the devil is called the father of liars. That's what the Bible says. It means Satan will always come to lie to you about the reality of your condition so they can take advantage of you. So what you have to do is show the enemy the truth of the word and say, the Bible never said to you that if you pray long enough, you'll be translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That's not what it said. It says now, because you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because your sins have been forgiven, that was the passport that you needed to enter into the kingdom of his dear son. So every of your experience that says otherwise, you are going to stand against those experiences and tell them, you are a liar, let God be true.
It is comforting that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 that the Lord did not leave us in the dark. He let us know the process, how it happened. Medium of transfer.
The passport.
Yes, it's through his blood, you know. So it's not like through anointing service or not through the revelation of somebody, of a minister, or what some other ministers have done or anything or services or attendance. He said through his blood. And it is his blood. It is blood. It is not the sacrifice and sweat of somebody or prayer or services by somebody. It is through his blood. So really understand so that we will not be taken advantage of. And you know, that's about knockout series, letting you not that nobody spoils you with any visions and visions and every testimonies. You know that this is true. His blood. That is how it happened.
Forgiveness,
so you can really be sure, making you to understand how the process, it was not done in the dark. So you can understand how it is. So you can reinforce and you can be settled in the knowledge of your citizenship. And again, it is very disturbing to see that some people don't even have a problem with being born again or something. They were in the kingdom, but yet they will still be praying as if they are visitors in the kingdom. By somebody or temporary resident, immigrant.
Visiting visa.
Yes, that is how they approach, even for things that they are rightly theirs. So there's nothing the consulate or anything can do. If you really don't feel that you are part of it, you cannot even approach. You cannot even get the benefit of it. So today we are trying to wake people up today and say, yes, you're a citizen.
you yes, will say translated
you. As long as you are born again,
into the kingdom.
You are dressed as king. You are dressed as king. You are in the kingdom.
The kingdom has come for you. That's what we're talking about today. Can you see? The kingdom of God has come already for you as a Christian.
For the kingdom, there are rights and responsibility attached to it, and that is what for you to know. And then if you're going to do anything about prayer before, you need to approach the right consulate. That is the thing. Who is responsible? You're able to know who is responsible for before you make any request. So how would you write as who? Who are you to write as what? So that is the thing. Establishing that in the Lord's Prayer. I hope you'll be blessed by this. I don't think we could continue further today. Is there anything you want to run into?
Well, I want to say, viewers, you want to stick with us on this Knockout Citizen Prayer. Now, we are looking into, you know, we've not even begun to look into the aspects, areas we delve into. Because as we begin to say, we begin to talk about that already, to tell you that the reason why Jesus brought the kingdom mentality into the place of prayer is because he expected that statement to revolutionize the mentality of the disciples when they pray their prayer. So as we've established today, we can see that this revelation of the kingdom is critical to the effectiveness of your prayer. Because why? It makes you understand that even before you begin to ask for our daily bread, you are in a kingdom, and your kingdom has rights and privileges for you to lay hold of in a place of prayer.
I would just want to say, we are just coming into the kingdom today, because some people, their prayer is their kingdom come, because to them today, and you're just coming, want to say congratulations for the kingdom, has come and enjoy what the other people have been enjoying. It is good that you've joined. And if we are already in the kingdom, and really we are saying you should pick yourself from the dust, I know that there's so much of rights and responsibility, there's so much of benefit in this, and the understanding of this kingdom will revolutionize the way you pray and you go about asking the Lord in place of prayer.
Your prayer life would change. The way you pray would change.
Your confidence level would change about it, how you go about it. And you know that you know you are in the right place, so you don't feel like you can't be lost in the place of prayer and say, oh, am I talking to the right person? You know that you are in the kingdom. And the kingdom of his death, so now your address has changed. So, and how it came about. So, today we've demystified all the things around born again and this third work of grace, seven steps, and all those kind of things, and tell you how it has been done. So, if this blesses your heart, we really want to see you with your comments, your questions, your clarification. We want you to share this with your network. And so, on Tuesday, we'll be in Bradford ministering. So, if you can join us, we'll really be glad. To do that. If you have joined us, then if you have joined us, that is good. And if you missed it, you can go to our page to look at it. So please share this. And so we'll see you 9 a.m. UK time. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. God bless you. Bye.
Good evening, world. This is Exposé 247, and where we bring God's word to you without charge. Without any mental carefulness or thoughtfulness, we always respond like the Hebrew boys, that we are not careful to answer you, King, about this matter. So on all matters, there will be no consideration, no mental consideration, calculation, or political correctness. So if this is your style, if this speaks to your truth, we should be that you're in good company this evening as we continue from where we stopped last weekend. So if you were with us last weekend, we talked about what's in the name. On Saturday and on Sunday, we talk about the witness protection, hiding under his name. Amen. So I quickly want to ask you if there's anything you want to add to that, the last session on the witness protection.
Well, viewers, thank you again for being with us today on this Knockout Citizen Prayer. As you know, we've been exploring the model of prayer that Jesus gave us. And then where we stop in last transmission is witness protection, hiding under his name. And then let's just say one or two things to just, in a way, round off on that particular transmission before we move on fully into what the Lord has for us today. And then you would notice that we did stop at the point where we actually emphasize where we as Christians have to come before, not just before the Father in the place of prayer, but we have to come before life itself. And that's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, it said, don't just limit this to your prayer time. Do all in word and in deed in the name of Jesus. There was an example that we were about to give before we went off. And then, you see, there was a particular case of where David actually sent his men to talk to Nabal in the Bible. That's specifically 1 Samuel chapter 20. You might want to read that quickly so that our viewers can get this. 1 Samuel 25 verse 9.
It reads,
What does it say?
And when David's young men came,
David's young men, not David, David's young man.
They spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased.
Can you see? Now, that's amazing. He said they spoke to Nabal in the name of what? David. Now, to understand the significance of that statement, in 1 Samuel 25, verse 9, at the time that Nabal rejected those men and humiliated them, when the news got back to David, you can take your time to read all of chapter 25. We don't want to spend too much time on that because we're going quickly to what the Lord has to say to us today on this, because we're going further with the Lord's prayer. But there was one thing. When those men were rejected, in David's own words, David said it was him personally that was rejected. Because the Bible says those men went in David's name, specifically in David's name. They were there, but in reality it was David that was there speaking to Nabal. So you see, this is how names are in reality. You need to understand the power and the potency of speaking or acting or doing things or praying in the name of Jesus. And I would to God that if the Church of Christ, Christians in our days, understand the weight and the gravity of this, we would never take ourselves from under the protective custody of that name. And then let us conclude with this statement. Now, we have said this before. Let's reemphasize it again. It's not about just chanting and shouting the name that indicates that you are hiding under the name. If that's the case, there'll be no need for this transmission today. Because virtually everyone that is in church, everyone that prays, always say, in the name of Jesus. So if that was the case, we would not be having this transmission. The reason we're having this transmission is because we have come to the understanding that it's not just chanting the name. According to what Peter said in Acts 3:16, it is putting faith in the name that makes things happen. It's putting faith in the name that makes us come to the realization that we are standing in the stead of Christ, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that everything we are saying, everything we are doing, is as if Christ is the one doing it. That's what the devil sees. That's what the enemy sees. And he hopes that we don't take advantage of such a grace that we have in praying, speaking, acting in the name of Jesus for our very life. Yeah. So,
You know where to go to listen to all these episodes. There wasn't a name, or the prayer season. You know, some people have forgotten that we are talking about the Lord's Prayer.
You don't forget, that's where I was going to go. By the time we continue with the different aspects of the Lord's Prayer, I was going to reemphasize that anyway. So please go onto our page. You can go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/expose, X for xylophone, P-O-S-E, T for 7. Or you can go to our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/expose, this time around E-X-P-O-S-E 247, and avail yourself of all these titles we've been talking about. Now, as we progress today, now we've been looking at the model of the Lord's Prayer, and we've said, unfortunately for some Christians, they have taken the Lord's Prayer, uklan and sinka. Don't forget the fact that they asked Jesus. They said, teach us to pray. And the Bible makes a statement. Jesus said, after this manner. You know, after this manner means after this model. I wanted to use it as a model. And if I gave you something to use as a model, if you are a student, if you're somebody in a place of work, and somebody tells you, this is a model I wanted to work with, and you repeat and give it back to them exactly, they'll probably think that you're not very smart. If you do that, if you just repeat back to people exactly what they gave you as a pattern, you're meant to use that as a backdrop, as a platform to come up with something based on that model. And that's what the Lord's Prayer was meant to be. And again, before we continue today, because we might say some things today that might be surprising to you, or that might not actually, in a way, sound consistent with things that you know. Well, we have to simply say that our authority is in the Word of God. The Bible says we need to receive with meekness the engrafted Word that can save your soul. Now, the reason why some things might sound a bit strange to you, let us put a note of warning quickly, is because don't forget the Lord's Prayer is not a new covenant prayer. Because Jesus had not yet shed his blood. He had not yet poured out his blood unto death. And he told them in the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus said straightforward, he said, the new covenant in my blood. It means until his blood was shed, there was no new covenant. We know that. So it means the Lord's Prayer was what I would call a transitional prayer between the old and the new. And it's in that understanding that we have to approach it. That's what we are looking at today. So follow us quickly as we continue into Matthew chapter 6. Okay. Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 6, and then we'll continue with this model of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at and see what the Lord has to say to us today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 from verse 10, and let's see what he has to say there.
Thy kingdom come.
Now that's the next phrase. Now the last phrase, let me just remind you, for viewers who have been following us on this Lord's Prayer, the last phrase we read was where it says, "Hallowed be thy name," and praise be to your name, significance to your name. And that was what led us through all the investigation of the name of the Father. And that's what we have actually gone through all those past three transmissions. So the very next statement in the Lord's Prayer is what we are looking at, trying to expatiate and see what this such light of the Spirit is going to reveal to us as the mystery that Christ was passing across in this model of prayer. See what it says. Now verse 10, what did he say?
Your kingdom come.
And that's it. That's the phrase. That's the phrase that will unlock what the Lord has to say to us today on this Knockout series on prayer. Jesus did say to the disciples that when you are praying, as soon as you talk about the name of the Father, as soon as you sanctify and set apart the name of the Father, in verse 9, you need to make a bold declaration, your kingdom come. What's the relevance of this to your prayer life? What's the relevance of this to you as a believer? Making a proclamation for the coming of the kingdom. I would like to call your attention to key words. There are just three words in that phrase. There's a your, and then your talks about possession. We know this kingdom is not your kingdom. It's not my kingdom. It is the Father's kingdom. So Jesus was trying to tell the disciples that before you came on the scene, before you began your prayer time, somebody had a kingdom. And it's not your kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It is his kingdom. So he said, your. And that's the first thing. Possession. Tells you that we are not even, it's not ours. And the second thing he said is, he said, you have a kingdom. He's talking about the Father has a kingdom. And then the third word in that phrase is, he said that that kingdom has to come. It would mean then that kingdom had a location before, and then he's asking that kingdom to move from where it is to a new location. Those are three points in that phrase that we're going to explore today about this kingdom of the Father that Jesus said we as a believer, the disciples are supposed to what? Declare that it's meant to what? To come. Now the question you want to ask me is, ever since this prayer was prayed before Jesus went to the cross, has the kingdom come yet? or what? Because, you know, like I said, anytime you read the Lord's Prayer, every time you pray in quote the Lord's Prayer, we need to put our spiritual senses to work to make sure that we are not actually putting a new wine into old wine skin. Has the kingdom come yet? Let's see what Christ has to say about the kingdom, and let's see the relevance of this to your prayer life. And that's what we're going to look at today. Come with us quickly as we begin to use the pages of the scriptures to explore the relevance of this to the prayer life of a believer. Let's go quickly to Matthew 11. Again, this your kingdom come. This bold declaration of the kingdom. How does that fit in into your prayer life as a new covenant Christian? Matthew 11. Let's see what it says. Matthew 11 from verse 11. Can you read that slowly, please? Yes, please.
Verily I say unto you.
Okay, verily I say unto you.
Among them that are born of women.
Yes, among them that are born of women.
There are no reason a greater than John the Baptist.
That's interesting. So Jesus said, well, let's talk about those who were born naturally. And I want to think that if you are watching this today, you are thinking, well, among those that are born of women, is that not how everyone is born? Why is Jesus trying to categorize people that some people are born of women? You will have thought, what kind of statement is Christ making when everyone literally is born of women? I mean, of course, if you want to exempt Adam anyway, I mean, apart from Adam, come all the way down to now, you would suppose everyone is born of women. Even for those people, apart from Adam and Eve, I mean, even if you're going to talk about people who talk about having the case of doing some kind of medical technological advancement in the way they give birth to children, they still have to, in some cases, use the egg of what? Of the woman, the ovum of the woman. They still have to use a woman. Even if they actually grow the egg in the lab, they still have to get something from the woman. So the fact is, what is Christ trying to say? But he's saying among those born of women, he says John the Baptist is what? Is the greatest among them all. And that's really amazing. It means he's saying put everyone, Elijah, Ezekiah, Isaiah, Abraham, you know, all those people, all those men who actually shook kingdoms in the Old Testament, the Bible says of all of them, it says Elijah, John the Baptist is the greatest of what? Of them all. Well, what is not our interest today is to investigate why Jesus said he's the greatest of them all. Well, that's not what we're looking at. I mean, there could be a better time and a better place to investigate that. But what we are saying is, Jesus is saying for those that are born of women, who are naturally born, he said the greatest of them is John the Baptist. And then the reason why I was trying to talk about Elijah the other time is because Luke 1:17 did say that John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And then we know in Malachi chapter 4, he did say that before the great and terrible day of the Lord will come, I will send my prophet Elijah before your face. And then most theologians believe that that was the coming of John the Baptist to actually be the one that will actually announce the coming of Jesus. Even some still do believe, there are some school of thought that still believe that Elijah will come again. But again, but that's not what we're looking at today. Again, we see of those born of women, is that the greatest of them is John the Baptist. Now watch the next statement. Don't forget, we're looking at the implication of the coming of the kingdom for your prayer life. That's what we're looking at. How does that knock out some wrong ideologies that we have brought to the place of prayer? Now what does it say in the next phrase, please?
Notwithstanding.
He that is least.
In the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, good. It would mean that John the Baptist was not in the kingdom. Now, he's saying, he's contrasting. Now, you know, when you speak words in English language, we have words and what? And opposites. It would mean that Jesus is trying to paint a picture before us, which sounds a bit strange if you don't even think about it deeply. He's saying, well, there are those that are born of what? Women. And in the opposite, the other side, are those that are in the kingdom. That's interesting. It would mean, he says, those who in the, it's contrasting those born of women to those who are what? In the kingdom of heaven. It would mean that the opposite of being naturally what?
Born
is to be in the kingdom. I didn't say that. It was Jesus that made a comparison. You don't use nevertheless. You don't use otherwise unless you want to talk about the opposite. So the opposite of naturally born or being born naturally by women is that you are in the kingdom of heaven. That's the opposite. Now some pictures are beginning to paint out right before our face of what this kingdom coming might actually mean. So it says the least in the what? In the kingdom of heaven is what? Is greater than John the Baptist. So, the first contrast we see is, to be in the kingdom, you have to go beyond being naturally what?
Born.
That's what we see. To be in the kingdom, you have to go beyond being just born of a woman. It didn't say, if you are born of a woman, you can never be in the kingdom. But it's just saying, you're being born must go beyond that being born of a woman. So we see that. Now, go on please, as we begin to read through this.
Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now.
It says from the days of John the Baptist and until now, until the very day Jesus was saying this. What's the issue then?
The kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven. Now, okay.
Suffers violence.
Now suffers violence.
And the violent take it by force.
Well, I mean, I've seen people and I've heard people. I mean, actually, this is one of the very often quoted verses in the Bible. And I think it's interesting that this kind of verse is coming up on our knockout series on prayer. Because when people want to scream down on the head of the devil, and people want to scream down on the head of darkness, and they say, yeah, this is the verse that supports the fact that you've got to take it by what? By force. If you're praying quietly or praying silently, how can you actually ever expect to chase out the devil when the Bible says the violence are taken by force? Well, strangely enough, he talks about this violence taking it by force in talking about the what? The coming of what? The kingdom. It's about the kingdom. So we have to interpret this violence taking it by force in the context of this verse that it was talking about. And then please, no offense to anyone who might be hearing this, if you've actually thought in the past that this particular verse is about making prayer points. Like I said to you, please, according to James chapter 1, you have to receive the word of God with meekness so that your soul can be saved. And we're going to show you evidence from the scripture what he's talking about. Don't forget that the prayer point that Jesus told the disciples was they should declare the coming of the kingdom. And this one says, the kingdom of God has been suffering what? Violence. Well, it seems a bit very vague. To understand, does it mean that there's violence going on inside the kingdom? Or what he's talking about? Let scripture interpret scripture. I want you to hold on to that Matthew 11. We're going to come back to it quickly because it talks about the coming of the kingdom. Let's go to Luke 16. This suffering violence is a bit very vague. Let scripture interpret scripture. Let us use other scriptures to understand what this is all about. If you go to Luke 16, it would give us another insight. It's the same thing. In fact, Luke just gave an account or the very thing that Christ was talking about. Now, if you read from Luke 16, can you read from verse 16, please? Luke 16 from verse 16, if you take that slowly, so everybody can get it.
The law
and
the prophets were unto John.
Now, if you notice, we're going to be swapping between this Matthew 11:11-13 and Luke 16:16. so that we can get a picture of this, because ultimately we are coming down to our prayer life. Now, if you look at that Matthew 11 again, I think you stop at where it says, the kingdom of heaven suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. Can you read verse 13, please?
For all the prophets,
okay,
and the law,
okay,
prophesy unto John.
That's exactly what's in Luke 16:16. So I'm just trying to show you by the scripture that Matthew 11:11-13 is the account that is the same account that Luke gave in Luke 16:16. So it means Luke 16:16 to verse 17 can then probably give us a better picture of this kingdom suffering what? Violence, because it was the account of Luke that Matthew recorded as well. So it's a, we're looking at the same account, not similar, same account. But Luke and Matthew recorded using different words, and that gives us a robust picture of what this suffering violence is all about. So let's look at what Luke, he tends to say about the suffering violence of the kingdom. What does Luke 16, verse 16 say again, please?
The law,
okay,
and the prophets,
mm-hmm,
were unto John.
Okay, but Matthew 11 says they prophesied up until John. Can you see that? So, okay.
Since that time,
okay,
the kingdom of God is preached.
Okay, so we didn't see that. It says from the time, it says right until the time of John. So John was a transition period. The ministry of John is the transition between what is not the kingdom and what is the kingdom. That's the reason why Jesus said that John was not in the kingdom, because he's the least, because he was born of what? Women. But those in the kingdom, they are those people that they can claim their birth was not by women. And we're going somewhere today. So there are those that can claim that they were not born, not just of women, are the ones that can claim they are in the kingdom. And it tells us that right from the time of John, the gospel of the kingdom is what? Being preached. Now, you want to ask me a question. If being born of a woman, as John the Baptist was under, doesn't make him to be what? In the kingdom. If somebody is preaching the gospel of the kingdom beyond John, it makes sense to think that they're preaching a birth that will not be by what? By women. I mean, that's logical. That it's an invitation to get into a new kind of birth. Into a new kind of birth that is not just natural. That would have been whatever that kingdom has been preached. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, now look at what he says in that Luke 16. What does he say there? He said, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man is what?
Pressing
their way into it. Now, we then understand, that means then, he says the kingdom, if you check some other translations, he says the kingdom is advancing what? Forcefully. So it means when he says the kingdom suffers violence, he's just trying to say that the kingdom is trying to make progress, and there are a lot of resistances on what? On ground for the progress of the kingdom. That's why he's talking about the kingdom suffering what? Violence. He's not talking about shouting a place of prayer. He's just saying this particular announcement of the fact that you cannot just be born of women. If you are just born of a woman, you are not in the what? In the kingdom. To be in the kingdom, you have to have a birth different from that what? Of just being born of a woman. And it says that particular revelation is trying to what? Make its entrance into humanity. And that revelation is actually struggling with a lot of things that are what? On ground. Wrong ideologies. Wrong mentalities on ground. It says advancing forcefully. It's a forceful advance because there was something else on ground. You know, let us say this quickly. There is no gospel, there is no message that God actually gives you to preach or gives me to preach. There is nothing that we have been mandated to do in this 21st century that there is not something on ground that is actually a resistance to what you are bringing. That's the fact. Have you noticed? When God spoke to Joshua and said, I've given the land of what? Canaan. You would have thought that when God gave them the land of Canaan, God said, I've given to you as a possession. But think about it. When they got to the land of Canaan, it wasn't empty, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Every time God gives a mandate, in most cases, the mandate of God doesn't necessarily mean there is emptiness on ground. There's always something on ground. Even when God told Adam to what? To replenish the earth. That mandate that God gave Adam, you know, the reason why God told him to replenish the earth, to till the earth, would have to be there's something, there's a resistance on ground. And that's the same thing with the calling of God. So when this gospel of the kingdom was being preached to men, the Bible says this kingdom had to what? Advance what? Forcefully against every resistance on ground. What kind of resistance? The Pharisees, the ideologies, religious morality. So many things on ground. I said the kingdom was making a forceful advancement. And I said men are what? Are pressing their what? Way into it. Men are switching sides. Those who were born of what? Women are switching and saying, you know what? I can't stay there anymore. I have to move into this new wave. So we can see, what can we conclude up to now? That to be in the kingdom of God is simply that your birth has to go beyond just being born of a woman. Now, we're still going to go back to that Lord's Prayer and say the kingdom come. You have one thing to say?
Yes, it is understandable that this kind of topic is going to generate controversy. And so you can just hit us back with your questions, any comment, anything that needs clarification, whether you agree or you do not agree. But God's word remains true, no matter what you feel about it. And also, when you try to dislodge any previous comfort that people have had, especially with Matthew chapter 11 verse 13, people have some special kind of relationship with it. It has been a go-to and comforting scriptures for people during warfare, prayers, and all the likes like that. I'm also talking about John the Baptist not being in the kingdom at the moment. So I will implore our viewers to even listen to this and try to forget what they have been reading about the scriptures and look at it afresh with the eye of the Spirit, and then look at it like the Berean would do about the scriptures and know if it's actually were so, to understand the difference between being born and to understand what the kingdom thing is bigger than what we think it used to be. At the entrance of the kingdom, where does the evil kingdom start? Where does it start? And why is it so important that no matter what it was, part it was, it came in the first prayer request. Like that, after establishing the relationship by our Father, where you are, and this, hallowed be your name. But then his kingdom must come. So it is something very, very important. So we cannot just go with what we know about it. We really need to understand that we have the correct understanding of what this kingdom is. And as important is it to the Lord. For saying this, the mother prayer, it must come in. So it came in as the first request. Even before you want the bread, as important as bread is, the kingdom, the matter of the kingdom needs to be settled first. Break it down. And the Lord was trying to use. We understood how important the ministry of John the Baptist is to Christ. He was the forerunner. Even they have a cordial human relationship. He's a cousin, you know, that kind of a thing. But the Lord was able to say, the matter of the kingdom is so much that you can dislodge any family and familiar connection. That no, he's not afraid to offend John. You know, that kind of a thing. And say, and then people believe so much in John, you know, they said people will go, it's a voice in the wilderness, people will leave the city, come and meet John. So it's not somebody, it's not just like an entity or somebody, a minister unknown or something like that, you can just say something to dislodge. So you understand how the people view John the Baptist, how people saw him as the Elijah that is to come. But we see Jesus was just bashing the ministry of John such a way by bringing in the kingdom, to understand that the kingdom is a heavier and weightier matter. So we'll pay attention. It will be good for you, for our viewers, to pay attention to this, the kingdom matter, and people should forget the familiarity and forget and not be emotionally connected about this. So people should just forget about the emotions and let us use the scriptural sense to understand what this kingdom is all about. And now it's important in our prayer life.
Thank you for that insight. Now, I wanted to understand the fact that where was the fault of John? Why would Jesus say he's the least? Well, I mean, Jesus said when you talk about the kingdom, John is the least. What was the fault of John? Well, it wasn't that John committed any sin, as it were. Jesus just said the fact that just if John was just limited to being born of what? Of a woman, of which he was. He said that's why he's very small. He's very small. And he says, there's some people that will go beyond being born of a woman. There will be those in the kingdom. So we see that. And so we have seen one thing, which is this. You know, the reason we're talking about this, because next time, if you begin to say your kingdom come, people sing songs about the coming of the kingdom. People make prayer point, prayer declaration. Let your kingdom come, Lord. I mean, you could have prayed that prayer before. But of course, if you're going to pray about something, you should at least know what you're talking about. I mean, we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if you don't know what you're talking about, then it's hard to have faith for what you're praying for. And that's what we're talking about today. So we have made one thing clear from the scriptures before we go to the next verse. In Matthew 11:11-13, in Luke 16, verse 16-17, the thing that we can see is Jesus contrasted the kingdom to being born of a woman. That's one thing we see. And the second thing that we see is Jesus said that John became the transition period. That before John, the law and the prophets were prophesying. Now, if I may ask you the question, what were the law and the prophet prophesying about? Because we need to know if there's a prophecy that is given to you or given to someone else. Prophecies are given to people. They're not given to just empty space. It's about somebody or about something that will happen to somebody. Now, if the Bible says the law and the prophets prophesied until John, it might be interesting to know what are they prophesying about. Then, you see, because of time, you might want to read Luke 24, verse 45. We can read that quickly. I mean, we need to know what they are prophesying about. And Jesus said, beyond John, the prophecy of the law and the prophet had to stop. No need for any more prophecy. I mean, what are they prophesying about? What does it say, Luke 24?
Verse 25.
Yeah, verse 45, please.
Okay, it reads, then open ye their understanding.
Yeah.
That they might understand the scriptures.
Now go on, please.
Verse 46.
Yes.
And said unto them,
yeah.
Thus it is written.
Yeah.
And thus it is behold.
Yes, please.
Christ to suffer,
okay.
And to rise from the dead the third day.
Okay.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among
okay.
all nations.
Okay.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Okay. Yeah, go on, please.
And ye are witnesses of these things.
Yes, please.
And behold.
And that you might go on, please.
And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you.
Now, before you go on there, can you just go to verse 27? The same Luke 24, verse 27. Now, watch this. Luke 24, verse 27, what does it say?
And beginning at Moses.
Beginning at Moses. Now, you can replace the word Moses with the law. The reason why I said that, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, the law came through what?
Moses.
So, you can say, beginning at Moses, which is beginning from the law. Uh-huh, go on, please.
And all the prophets.
See? The law and the prophet, that's what Luke 16:16 said. That's what Matthew 11:13 said. You can see the consonants there. Go on, please.
He expanded unto them in all the scriptures.
In all the scriptures.
The things
uh-huh.
concerning himself.
Okay. So then we know, when the Bible says in Luke 16:16 and Matthew 11:13 that the law and the prophet prophesied unto John, we know they were prophesying about who? About Jesus. Jesus said, beginning from Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them in this Luke 24:27, everything that was said concerning him. So all the prophecies of the law were concerning Christ Jesus. So it means the Bible says the law and the prophets, I'm quoting Luke 16:16 and Matthew 11:13, prophesied unto John. And as soon as John the Baptist showed up on the scene, the law and the prophets stopped prophesying. And there's a reason. Because the person you're prophesying about
exactly.
has showed up. I mean, you don't, for example, it's just common sense. If you actually are writing or trying to paint a picture or promote something and the thing you're promoting showed up, what are you promoting again? It's already here. It's just that people making an advertisement, I mean, about a program and the program has actually started. What are you still advertising? It's already, so the law and the prophet just shut up. Because all what the law and the prophet were referring to is now on the scene. That's why I said they prophesied unto John. Until John, they stopped prophesying. What does that mean? And he said from that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been what? Being preached. Now, does that not tell you that this kingdom we are talking about was being ushered in by a person? Was being ushered in by Jesus. Now, he is the one that ushered in this kingdom. And then the question we are asking is, this prayer, the kingdom come, what is the relevance of that to you as a Christian? Now, we have made one point known, before we go on to John chapter 3, which is the next verse we are looking at. The point we have made known is, for you to be part of the kingdom, you cannot just be born of a woman. That's what we've seen that. Now, let's go quickly to John chapter 3. Now, praying your prayer, the kingdom come, how is that relevant to you then? John chapter 3. Now let's see. You can read from verse 3, please. John 3:3. What does it say, please?
Jesus answered and said unto him,
yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Now watch this.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Again, and he says, does that not sound relevant, then? Relevant to the Mark 11:13 that says, if you are born of a woman, you are not in the what? In the kingdom. Now Jesus said, unless you are born the second time, you have to go beyond being born of a woman. Now you can talk about you are seeing the kingdom, which is why John the Baptist was the least, because he was just born of a woman. And so now he's saying here that except man be born again means what was the first being born? The first one is you were born of what? A woman. It says you need to be born again. There has to be a new one. That's where we can now start talking about the kingdom. So this is now showing you the relevance of the scriptures, talking about the kingdom now. It means then, this kingdom matter we're talking about, I want you to get a picture in your understanding of where it started for you. You need to know where it started for you, where this kingdom started for you. We need to know that if you're going to actually lay hold upon the significance of that prayer point in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Now, can you go on, please?
Verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him,
okay.
How can a man be born when he's old?
Okay.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Can you see why it says men are pressing their way into it? Men are trying to live without revelation upon their head because it's not, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to the natural man. It says men are laying hold. Men are pressing their way into that kingdom. Now go on, please.
Jesus answered,
okay.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee,
mm-hmm.
except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of
God.
That's
born of the born of the Word and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Go on, please.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Okay.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Okay. Now, go on, please.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Okay.
The wind blows where it listed, and there is the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's it. So we don't see the reason why it means them. From what we have read in John chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse, I think, 6 or 7, it means you need to be born again, or born of the Spirit, for you to claim that you are in the what? The kingdom. If you are born only once, you're born of a woman, you are like John the Baptist, you are not in the kingdom. But if you are born beyond a woman and you are born again, which is what Jesus said, born of the Spirit, now you can claim that you are what? In the kingdom. Now, these are the two positions you can be. Now, there's a good news I have for you today. Jesus said the least, the lowest person in the kingdom is greater than the greatest person who is not in the kingdom, who is John the Baptist, who is not in the kingdom because he was just born of a woman. Now, we begin to get a picture now. So it means when you are praying the prayer in Matthew 6:10, as somebody believer in the new covenant, and say, your kingdom come. Now, the prayer is relevant to a very good extent. But what you have to understand is, if you are not just born, if you are born of a woman, and you are not born of the Spirit, it means you can be saying that, Lord, let your kingdom come into my life. But the Bible says, if you are born of the Spirit, he says, no, you have received the kingdom, and you enter the kingdom because you are born of the water and of the Spirit. And some people teach and say, well, there's a level of spiritual work you need to have with God for you to actually, they say being born again means you see the kingdom, you've not entered. To enter the kingdom, you need to be born of the water and the Spirit. And the question you want to ask is this. The Bible did simply say as a Christian that you are, or that God is the Father of your spirit. Is that okay? You already a new creation in Christ. You are born of the Spirit. You're not born of what? The flesh. How did I know that? Because John chapter 1 tells us that what? He said he came unto his own, talking about Jesus, and his own did not receive him. I'm quoting John chapter 1. But he said to them, watch this, that received him, not to them that will receive him later, he gave them the right of the power to be called the Son of God. Now watch this. He said, not born of flesh.
That's verse 11. I think we should read it.
Okay, you want to read it, please.
John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Okay.
But as many as received him, to them he gave him power to become the sons of God.
He gave them power to be born the second time, if you want to say that, to be born again. Okay, go on, please.
Even to them that believe on his name.
To them that believe on his name.
Which were born.
Now, look at their qualification. Look at their CV. So then they were actually born again. Now, watch number one. Born of what?
Not of blood.
Not of blood.
Not of the will of the flesh.
Not the will of the flesh means they were not just born of a natural descent. If you check some translations, it will say they were not born of natural descent. Not of woman. Just like John the Baptist was. Go on, please.
Not of the will of man.
Not of the will of man.
Not of God.
But of God. Can you see? It says they are born of God. I mean, they were given birth to by God. When it says not of flesh, now, see, if you notice, anytime it says not of flesh, it means they are born of what? The Spirit. Because the Spirit is always a contrast of the flesh. Now, what are we trying to conclude? We're trying to simply say, Jesus said, if you are born of what? The Spirit. That means you have entered the what? The kingdom. So for you as a Christian, for you who is born again, for you is born of the Spirit, according to John chapter 1, verse 11 that we have read, according to John chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 7 that we read, if you are born again, the Bible simply says you've already entered what? This kingdom of God we are talking about. And for those who are not in the kingdom, they are just people who are just born of women, according to Matthew 11:11-13. So it means for you, when you are praying, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life, that's the kind of prayer point you want to be careful about when you are praying that prayer. I mean, what are you talking about? If you are claiming, let your kingdom come in my life, let your kingdom come, you are simply saying, Lord, I think I'm just born of a woman. I'm not born of the Spirit yet. I'm not born again yet. I'm still going to talk about other aspects of the kingdom, but I'm just saying primarily as a Christian, you could not be a Christian. You could not be born again. You could not be born of the Spirit unless you agree that you are actually what? In the kingdom, according to the word of God. That's what we see here today.
Yeah, it is good that you know that you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, you are born and you have entered into the kingdom. And the better thing, the better news is that if you are feeling very little in the kingdom, it tells you you are greater than anyone outside in the kingdom. If you are really feeling little and you don't find any significance to the new birth, to the rebirth, what is it? And people are trying to say, no, maybe you need to do more and more and belittling. That is the thing. For you, for people to aspire to something else, it has to belittle the experience that they have. For them to be thinking, I need to get more, and then for them not to appreciate what they know. So I want to tell you that what happened at that bath is something magical. You know, that is it. Even the host of heaven rejoice when you enter. You know, that is, there is a procession for you. So don't let anybody tell you another second level walk of grace and all those kinds of things and belittle your experience. The rebirth experience is a very great experience. It's something that was confounding to Nicodemus. Just like Ray was, how can this thing be? How can this thing be? Just like Mary was saying, how can this thing be?
That's what it says, men are pressing their way into it, because it's just beyond the human calculation. It says men are pressing their way into that kingdom. That's what it says.
So just like when Mary was confounded when he got the prophecy for the birth of Jesus, and it's about battle, and we're talking about battle, how can this thing be? It is just beyond. And that's what Nicodemus said, how can this new birth be? It is something great. I want you to appreciate that what happened. And again, I want to draw our attention to every other minister that have been preaching. People that have been preaching, their administration stopped on to John. You need to understand and update the knowledge and understand the kingdom experience so that you can be of blessing to people beyond that, so that people can be greater. You can pump people to a greater experience by understanding and updating the knowledge. And even to understand that what the prophet and the laws, what you have been preaching, must actually be Christ. So any law and prophecy that does not point to Christ is just a waste of exercise. And then you need to update the knowledge so that people can come to the greater experience that the Christ is here now. And so all our points, all our messages must point to Christ.
Amen. Now, you see, you might be wondering, where are we going today with this today's transmission on the Cal Citizen Prayer? How is this connected to your prayer point? Well, it's everything about your prayer life. Now, the reason we're saying that is, think about this deeply. In the natural world, I mean, if you're listening to this today, you believe, I presume you belong to a particular country, or you belong to a particular nation where you live at the moment. Even if you don't live in that nation, you carry a passport of a particular nation. I mean, of course, I mean, everybody comes from somewhere, except for some few people who actually are stateless. But with those exceptions of people who are stateless, everybody comes from somewhere. You carry a particular passport. Some even have dual citizenship. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have access. I mean, there are rights and privileges that particular nation or country that you belong to, it confers that on you automatically. People go all the way to great length to actually buy their citizenship. Like Paul in the scriptures, he actually got his Roman citizenship. And there were some things, some rights and privileges that Paul had that, other disciples or other apostles, they didn't have it because they didn't have Roman citizenship. In fact, when Paul was being beaten, Paul reminded the soldier who was doing that, said, do you know that you are trying to beat a Roman citizen? It means that citizenship or being part of a nation presents to you or gives to you some certain rights and privileges that other people from other countries might not have. Now, this thing we're talking about today is all critical down to your prayer life. This is the reason. Because every time you approach the Father, have you noticed that before the statement that give us what? Our daily bread. The question is, who are you to ask your daily bread from the Father? Do I know you? The Father will be asking you, on what basis, what rights and privileges do you have to be asking the Father for your what? Daily bread. This is an opening point to the strength of your prayer life. He's trying to tell you there's a kingdom, and this kingdom, you are part of this kingdom. He's asking disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. But in your case, if you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, if your birth is not just limited to that of a woman, the Bible says you have been ushered in into a new kingdom. And if you're ushered into a kingdom, it makes logical sense that you have rights and privileges being a citizen of that kingdom. And that's why Jesus talked about the kingdom matter in the Lord's Prayer before he began to talk about you making demand for a daily bread. Can you see that? So that's why anytime you pray, anytime you seek the Father, the question is, what rights and privileges do you have? You need a kingdom mindset. in order to be able to have the faith that you need in a place of prayer.
And it makes sense to for you to ever feel entitled and feel like you have a right to benefit, just like the benefit of the cross. You really have to be part of the kingdom. That is the thing. Well, so you cannot be entitled to any benefit or anything.
You know, there's something you just said. There's something you said, and I think that's very interesting. That actually brought up a scripture in my spirit that I've never thought about, even about this transmission today. And thank you for that. Now, there was a time they were collecting taxes, you know, and then Jesus was actually confronted with the disciples, and they asked him to pay tax. And, you know, Jesus said something. He asked the disciples. He said, the men of this world, I mean, from whom do they collect taxes? He said, is it from the children or from the slaves? And then they said from the servant. And he said, that means the sons are what? The sons are free. Can you see that? There are some rights, some privileges that are accorded you because of your citizenship. Now let's say this quickly. There are some countries of the world that if you go there to those countries, if you travel there and you're an immigrant in those countries, you can work your whole head off. In fact, you can keep working morning and night trying to make ends meet. But there are some people who are citizens of that same country where the immigrant is working. The reason why they get some benefit or some right without stressing themselves out is simply because they claim that they were citizens of what? That country. I'm trying to show you, to give you a picture in the natural, what the benefit of citizenship can actually accord people. And the Bible is simply saying, if you're going to come before the Father in the place of prayer, and you begin to say, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Christ is saying by the Lord's Prayer, let's instill into you a kingdom mindset first. Let's instill into you a citizenship mindset first, before we start talking about our daily bread. You see, we must follow the order of the Lord's Prayer if we're going to actually not fall for wrong ideologies in the place of prayer.
I just pray and hope that our viewers will be able to wrap their mind on this thing, because their freedom is tied to this understanding of this kingdom thing. Mm. You know, it's just like the saying about the tax collection and everything.
The sons are free.
So to know that if you don't know the knowledge of what we are sharing today, I feel like, what is this about this? Let's go into give us the daily bread. You're joking with your liberty. Mm. Because the freedom then, that was when I was all answered and shut them out. Mm. The sons are free. So how would you know that you are free when you don't know that in the kingdom you have the right to freedom? And the same thing that Jesus was saying when he went to the temple, I saw the woman that was held bent, well, is it for 18 years, that was in the Sabbath. I said, who's? It is daughter of Abraham, and that settles it.
Mm.
Because it is the kingdom, it's the kingdom right, you should not be bent.
Mm.
That is the thing. So there's something, some of the things that people are praying about and being on mountains, and we are not discrediting prayer. We are not saying we should pray always. We know the scriptures. You know, we've been on Nocasis in prayer, talking about prayer. We'll continue. But some things that people are praying about, you just need the knowledge, Nocasis, that Jesus will say the sons are free and put everybody in their place. Mm. So understanding this kingdom, the kingdom mentality sets the freedom, and it puts you in the understanding of the freedom and the liberty, and settles it. It's just like a punchline for it. The woman was set free because understanding that he's the daughter of Abraham, and because of daughter of Abraham, where he belongs, he should not be headbound that way. And it's shut the mouth of those of the sons are free. So you should be free if you understand that you are part of this of this kingdom. So your liberty, your freedom, your benefit, they are tied to this knowledge of your citizenship. So if you don't know that you are one of God, that you are part of this kingdom, so you really you don't even know where to go. You don't have the confidence. You don't even know you are entitled.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you for that insight. Now, viewers, can you see what we are talking about today is simply based on the fact that we're saying unless we settle kingdom understanding, prayer will be a struggle. And that's why it is coming into the Lord's Prayer that Jesus made reference to this before his disciples, before the very next phrase about making a petition for daily bread. Now let's say this before we continue. And the fact is, we are exploring the fact that according to the scriptures, being born is what separates those who are in the kingdom and those who are not in the kingdom. I mean, people, I guess people talk about, like you're talking about, second work of grace. Third walk of grace, fourth walk, seventh level of attainment. Well, like we said, the punchline that we are using in this knockout series is the Word of God. I mean, that's why we are comparing Scripture with Scripture. If you have another Scripture you can show us, we'll be glad to actually look into it. But Jesus said, for those who are born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. But he said, for those in the kingdom, that will be those who are laying claim to being born that is beyond just women. He said those in the kingdom. So those in the kingdom, we have to be those people who were not just limiting their being born to just being by a woman. So if you are born again, it means you are born the second time. This time around, not by just a woman. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. You automatically in the kingdom. There is no middle ground about it. That's what we see there. So it means the kingdom of God is in you at the moment if you're born of the Spirit according to the Scriptures.
And we want to emphasize again that what we say, you can only be born by of God. If you are not born of God, then every other but. Some people might say, okay, apart from being naturally born of women, they have some birth by attendance. Some are just saying, they are equating the attendance in any religious organization and how their titles and everything, equating as if they are part of the kingdom. We just only find out from today that the only reason why you can get into the kingdom is
to
be born.
There's no other way to get to the kingdom. There's no, in fact, years of service doesn't get you to the kingdom.
Titles.
Now, we have scripture with John 3, emphasize that again. John 3, even going beyond Matthew 11:11-13, go to John 3. John 3 says, except you are born, you can't even see the kingdom.
Even that John 3, he was talking to Nicodemus, which is a man, a religious man.
He said, yeah, so Nicodemus, you are not in the kingdom.
That's
Christ was saying,
was,
doesn't matter what you've been there for years, you are not in the kingdom. He said, Nicodemus, all you get into the kingdom is so straightforward. Just be born again. That's what he's saying. Just be born again. And so we can see that. So it means if you are born again and you are listening to this transmission today, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead for your justification, if that's what you believe, is that what you confess, you are in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you as we are talking today. But of course, like most things work in the realm of the Spirit, like things work in God's kingdom, if you don't know what you have, if you don't know where you have been brought into, you will not be able to get the benefit of that which you're already operating in. So it's one thing that you have been brought into the kingdom. It's a whole different thing that you understand your status and your situation, and that you can lay hold of that benefit for your life and destiny. And that's what we see there. Now, you want to say one thing?
Yes, if you are not in the kingdom, the door is not shut now, because it's the Lord that has the power to shut the door. Because if you remember the story of the Noah ark, it was God that shut the door, so no man can shut the door for you. So you have the opportunity today to be in the kingdom and come into the kingdom to understand you accept Jesus, and that is the way, just like we were explaining in John chapter 3, born of the Spirit, to come into the kingdom today, to be partake. That is your citizenship route. So you can partake of all these benefits. Don't shut yourself out.
And quite unlike some other religions and some other people who claim that they have a way to God or a way to the Father or the way to spirituality, who tell you there are seven esoteric steps for you to attain and for you to get to that level and get to that level. All that Christ was saying is
the way,
as long as you are born again, you are born of the water and the Spirit, say you're in the kingdom. That's what Christ said. It's just that straightforward.
And it's so easy.
Nobody can take credit for it. It's the work of God. I mean, just receive it. And he said he came unto his own, and his own did not what?
Receive.
He said to them that what?
Don't receive
him. There's nothing like, you can't even boast and say, well, I attained seven steps of spirituality. He said to them that I receive, that's all. How easy it is to receive?
And receiving is so easy.
He said that I receive him. So the receiving there destroys every ego of man. Receiving means, that's why 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I mean, he said, if you have received it, he says, what do you have that you have not received? He said, if you have received it, why are you boasting about it? So when you receive things, you don't boast, because receiving doesn't exalt you as a receiver. You only exalt the giver. That's the point. The Bible said the borrower is a servant to what?
To the lender.
The person that receives is always saying that the person that gives is greater. So the Bible says you are called to receive this new birth. And if you are called to receive it, it said it ushers you into the kingdom. Let's look at more testimonies in the Scripture.
You can do it where you are. You
can do that right where you are today and come right into the kingdom of God. So what we are trying to say today is, as a Christian, when you are praying the Lord's Prayer, when you say your kingdom come in my life, or let your kingdom come into me, you got to think twice when you pray such prayer points. Like I said, we're still going to talk about the kingdom to come, but we are starting from the first principles that for you already as a Christian, the kingdom has come in you already. You are in the kingdom already. To start with, the spiritual kingdom. Look at Galatians 1. You want to say one thing?
Yes, for people to already in the kingdom, we've settled that. For those who have already shown the way for people to get into the kingdom, for those who are not in the kingdom. Well, we just want to take our mind back to that matter that said, thy kingdom come. Because some people are in the kingdom now, and they felt like because of what is happening to them now, and because of the assignment or what, they already felt that the kingdom is theirs. We want to know that this kingdom is not, and already have megalomania perception of themselves as if they are the kingdom. They represent their kingdom and not the kind, but it is their kingdom. So we just have to understand
it's that God's kingdom.
It's God's kingdom.
It's not
no
your
matter
kingdom.
What you do or what you have become or whatsoever, for a failure of the kingdom, do not be deceived.
Mm.
Do not be carried away, sort of, to know that it is kingdom, it is His. It is His kingdom.
That's it. Not your kingdom. It is the Lord's kingdom. Every kingdom built by men, every kingdom that men have set up, they will disappear. It's a matter of time. The Bible says in 1 John 2, that in verse 14 to verse 16, it says what? It says, the world is passing away with its lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. It means that. He's saying things will fizzle out. It's a matter of time. But there's a kingdom.
Empires will
fall. That's why the Bible says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12. That's amazing. He said, let us serve God with reverence and fear. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything will be shaken anyway.
Empires
will come and go. Look at Colossians 1. We're looking at the relevance of this to your prayer life. Colossians 1. You can read from verse 13. Now watch this.
Who had delivered us from
now,
the power
now,
of darkness.
Now, I wanted to take note of the tenses of the scriptures. If it's a present tense, past tense, or continuous tense. It said, who hath
delivered us
yeah,
from the power of darkness.
So, that's what Paul was talking about, the believer. Go on, please.
And has translated us.
And has translated. It means he has shifted our position. He has shifted our location. Yeah, what did he say?
Us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Can you see that? Of course, if you are still doubting the testimonies you've had in the past, about 10, 15 minutes, trying to convince you as a Christian that you cannot use prayer point to transfer yourself into God's kingdom. I mean, you can't use prayer to say, Father, today, I'm going to pray all night prayer and declare that the kingdom of God must come in my life. Kingdom come with fire upon my destiny. Well, I mean, that kind of prayer, if you're not careful, you are trying to say, Father, I don't really believe what Christ did on the cross.
Yeah.
I want to use my prayer point to make this happen, because the Bible simply says here that Christ hath, can you see, who hath delivered us from the dominion of darkness and hath translated us, he has moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. So this is clear-cut scripture to say, if you are a believer, you are in God's kingdom already. You are right inside our kingdom if you're a Christian. That's what it says there.
Verse 14. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness.
He said that's all is needed. I mean, if you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus and your sins are what? Forgiven. He said there goes your prerequisite requirement to enter into the world,
into the kingdom.
So you are in the kingdom, if you are listening to this. It means the good news is, you have the rights and privileges of your citizenship.
Yes.
That's the point. You have been born into God's kingdom. You have the rights and privileges of God's kingdom.
Our citizenship.
It means, if I may say this to you then, it means it's high time you go to find out the privileges and the rights of your citizenship.
Yes.
Can you see that? It's time to find out. So that when you come to the Father in the place of prayer, you are talking kingdom. You are thinking kingdom. You are reasoning kingdom. You are not talking like somebody who is an immigrant into that country. You are not talking like somebody who has a temporary residence in that country. You are talking like somebody, who has been translated, who has been moved. You have been permanently moved. Some countries have a kind of status. They call it permanent residency. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, that you have a permanent residency. You have been moved, translated, pastors, from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, there's something I wanted to contrast here today. And I want to look at this contrast. The Bible presents the opposite of being the kingdom. And I see when you read the Bible, it's better to get a better picture of the revelation of the word by looking at the opposite of what it's saying. The opposite can make you appreciate better what the reality is. Now the question is, he's saying here that if you are translated into the kingdom of his dear son, it means you cannot be under the dominion of darkness. If you are the dominion of darkness, you are not in the kingdom of his dear son. You cannot believe both. It's either this or that. If you are just born of a woman, you are under the dominion of darkness. But if you are born again, you are in the kingdom of his dear son. Now, if you are wondering, are there some 10 steps or 25 logical points or some anointing meetings or some conventions that I need to wait for to move me into the kingdom of God's Son, well, you might want to check verse 14 and verse 15 that says all that was needed was you have needed redemption through his blood, having your sins forgiven. He said that is all that is needed for you to really say, oh, it means I'm no more under dominion of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of his dear Son. Can you see how this changes how we pray? This changes how we approach the Father in the place of prayer. Now, I'm wondering that you might be thinking that, well, thank you for what you are saying to me today. You are hearing this and then you are listening to this. You are wondering, thank you for this. But my experience shows that there's so much darkness around my life. I mean, there's so much things that I can point to and I can see evil patterns. Where I am or in my family or in my background or in my situation, I can see darkness. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Well, the reality of that is the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. What that means is the devil is called the father of liars. That's what the Bible says. It means Satan will always come to lie to you about the reality of your condition so they can take advantage of you. So what you have to do is show the enemy the truth of the word and say, the Bible never said to you that if you pray long enough, you'll be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's not what it said. It says now, because you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because your sins have been forgiven, that was the passport that you needed to enter into the kingdom of his dear Son. So every of your experience that says otherwise, you are going to stand against those experiences and tell them, you are a liar. Let God be true.
It is comforting that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 that the Lord did not leave us in the dark. He let us know the process, how it happened. Medium of transfer.
The passport.
Yes, it's through this blood, you know. So it's not like through anointing service or not through the revelation of somebody, of a minister, or what some other ministers have done or anything or services or attendance. He said through his blood, and it is blood. It is blood. It is not the sacrifice and sweat of somebody or prayer or services by somebody. It is through his blood. So really understand so that we will not be taken advantage of. And you know, that's about knockout series, letting you not, nobody spoils you with any visions and visions and every testimonies. You know that this is true. His blood. That is how it happened.
Forgiveness,
so you can
sins.
Really be sure, making you to understand how the process, it was not done in the dark. So you can understand how it is. So you can reinforce and you can be settled in the knowledge of your citizenship. And again, it is very disturbing to see that some people don't even have a problem with being born again or something. They were in the kingdom, but yet they will still be praying as if they are visitors in the kingdom. Like somebody or temporary resident, immigrant.
Visiting visa.
Yes, that is how they approach, even for things that they are rightly theirs. So there's nothing the consulate or anything can do. If you really don't feel that you are part of it, you cannot even approach. You cannot even get the benefit of it. So today we are trying to wake people up today and say, yes, you're a citizen. As long as you are born again
into the kingdom.
Your address has changed. You are in the kingdom.
The kingdom has come for you. That's what we're talking about today. Can you see? The kingdom of God has come already for you as a Christian.
And so for the kingdom, there are rights and responsibility attached to it. And that is what for you to know. And if you're going to do anything about prayer before, you need to approach the right consulate. That is the thing. Who is responsible? You're able to know who is responsible for before you make any request. So how would you write as who? Who are you to write as what? So that is the thing, establishing that in the Lord's Prayer. I hope you've been blessed by this. I don't think we could continue further today. So is there anything you want to round it?
Well, I want to say, viewers, you want to stick with us on this knockout series on prayer. Now, we are looking into, you know, we've not even begun to look into the aspects, areas we should delve into. Because as we begin to say, we begin to talk about that already, to tell you that the reason why Jesus brought the kingdom mentality into the place of prayer is because he expected that statement to revolutionize the mentality of the disciples when they pray their prayer. So as we've established today, we can see that this revelation of the kingdom is critical to the effectiveness of your prayer. Because why? It makes you understand that even before you begin to ask for our daily bread, you are in a kingdom and your kingdom has rights and privileges for you to lay hold of in a place of prayer.
I would just want to say, we are just coming into the kingdom today, because some people, their prayer is their kingdom come, because to them today, and you're just coming, want to say congratulations for the kingdom has come and enjoy what the other people have been enjoying. It is good that you've joined. And if you are already in the kingdom, and really we are saying you should pick yourself from the dust. I know that there's so much of rights and responsibility, there's so much of benefit in this, and the understanding of this kingdom will revolutionize the way you pray and you go about asking the Lord in place of prayer.
Your prayer life would change. The way you pray would change.
Your confidence level would change about it, how you go about it. And you know that you know you are in the right place, so you don't feel like you can't be lost in the place of prayer and say, oh, am I talking to the right person? You know that you are in the kingdom. And the kingdom of his death soon, and your address has changed. So, and how it came about. So today we've demystified all the things around born again and this third work of grace, seven steps, and all those kind of things, and tell you how it has been done. So if this blesses your heart, we really want to see you with your comments, your questions, your clarification. We want you to share this with your network. And so on Tuesday we'll be in Bradford ministering. So if you can join us, we'll really be glad. To do that. If you have joined us, then if you have joined us, that is good. And if you missed it, you can go to our page to look at it. So please share this. And so we'll see you 9 a.m. UK time. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. God bless you. Bye.
Good evening, world. This is Exposé 247, and where we bring God's word to you without charge, without any mental carefulness or thoughtfulness. We always respond like the Hebrew boys, that we are not careful to answer you, King, about this matter. So on all matters, there will be no consideration, no mental consideration, calculation, or political correctness. So if this is your style, if this speaks to your truth, we should be that you're in good company this evening as we continue from where we stopped last weekend. So if you were with us last weekend, we talked about what's in the name. On Saturday and on Sunday, we talk about the witness protection, hiding under his name. Amen. So I quickly want to ask you if there's anything you want to add to that, the last session on the witness protection.
Well, viewers, thank you again for being with us today on this Knockout series on prayer. As you know, we've been exploring the model of prayer that Jesus gave us. And then where we stopped in last transmission is witness protection, hiding under his name. And then let's just say one or two things to just, in a way, round off on that particular transmission before we move on fully into what the Lord has for us today. And then you would notice that we did stop at the point where we actually emphasize where we as Christians have to come before, not just before the Father in the place of prayer, but we have to come before life itself. And that's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, it's not said, don't just limit this to your prayer time. Do all in word and in deed in the name of Jesus. There was an example that we were about to give before we went off. And then, you see, there was a particular case of where David actually sent his men to talk to Nabal in the Bible. That's specifically 1 Samuel chapter 20. You might want to read that quickly so that our viewers can get this. 1 Samuel 25 verse 9.
It reads,
What does it say?
And when David's young men came,
David's young men, not David, David's young men,
they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased.
Can you see? Now, that's amazing. He said they spoke to Nabal in the name of what? David. Now, to understand the significance of that statement in 1 Samuel 25 verse 9, at the time that Nabal rejected those men and humiliated them, when the news got back to David, you can take your time to read all of chapter 25. We don't want to spend too much time on that because we're going quickly to what the Lord has to say to us today on this, because we're going further with the Lord's prayer. But there was one thing. When those men were rejected, in David's own words, David said it was him personally that was rejected, because the Bible says those men went in David's name, specifically in David's name. They were there, but in reality, it was David that was there speaking to Nabal. So, you see, this is how names are in reality. You need to understand the power and the potency of speaking or acting or doing things or praying in the name of Jesus. And I would to God that if the Church of Christ, Christians in our days, understand the weight and the gravity of this, we would never take ourselves from under the protective custody of that name. And then let us conclude with this statement. Now, we have said it before. Let's reemphasize it again. It's not about just chanting and shouting the name that indicates that you are hiding under the name. If that's the case, there'll be no need for this transmission today. Because virtually everyone that is in church, everyone that prays, always say, in the name of Jesus. So if that was the case, we would not be having this transmission. The reason we're having this transmission is because we have come to the understanding that it's not just chanting the name. According to what Peter said in Acts 3:16, it is putting faith in the name that makes things happen. It's putting faith in the name that makes us come to the realization that we are standing in the stead of Christ, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that everything we are saying, everything we are doing, is as if Christ is the one doing it. That's what the devil sees. That's what the enemy sees. And he hopes that we don't take advantage of such a grace that we have in praying, speaking, acting in the name of Jesus for our very life. Yeah. So, yeah, you have
okay,
what to say.
Yes. Yeah. You know where to go to listen to all these episodes. There wasn't a name.
Yeah.
You know, or the prayer season, you know, people, maybe some people have forgotten that we are talking about the Lord's Prayer.
You don't forget, so, yeah, that's where I was going to go. For, I mean, by the time we continue with the different aspects of Lord's Prayer, I was going to reemphasize that anyway. So please go onto our page. You can go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/expose, X for xylophone, P-O-S-E, T for seven. Or you can go to our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/expose, this time around E-X-P-O-S-E 247, and avail yourself of all these titles we've been talking about. Now, as we progress today, now we've been looking at the model of the Lord's Prayer, and we've said, unfortunately, for some Christians, they have taken the Lord's Prayer, uklan and sinka. Don't forget the fact that they asked Jesus. They said, teach us to what? To pray. And the Bible makes a statement. Jesus said, after this manner. You know, after this manner means after this model. I wanted to use it as a model. And if I gave you something to use as a model, if you are a student, if you're somebody in a place of work, and somebody tells you, this is a model I wanted to work with, and you repeat and give it back to them exactly, they'll probably think that you're not very smart. If you do that, if you just repeat back to people exactly what they gave you as a pattern, you're meant to use that as a backdrop, as a, you know, as a platform to come up with something based on that model. And that's what the Lord's Prayer was meant to be. And again, before we continue today, because we might say some things today that might be surprising to you, or that might not actually, in a way, sound consistent with things that you know. Well, we have to simply say that we, our authority is in the Word of God. The Bible says we need to receive with meekness
the engrafted
Word that can save your soul. Now, the reason why some things might sound a bit strange to you, let us put a note of warning quickly, is because don't forget the Lord's Prayer is not a new covenant prayer. Because Jesus had not yet shed His blood. He had not yet poured out His blood unto death. And He told them in the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus said straightforward, He said, the new covenant in my blood. It means until His blood was shed, there was no new covenant. We know that. So it means the Lord's Prayer was what I would call a transitional prayer between the old and the new. And it's in that understanding that we have to approach it. And that's what we are looking at today. So follow us quickly as we continue into Matthew chapter 6. Okay. Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 6. And then we'll continue with this model of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at and see what the Lord has to say to us today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 from verse 10 and let's see what He has to say there.
Thy kingdom come.
Now that's the next phrase. Now the last phrase, let me just remind you, for viewers who have been following us in this Lord's Prayer, the last phrase we read was where it says, hallowed be thy name, and praise be to your name, significance to your name. And that was what led us through all the investigation of the name of the Father. And that's what we have actually gone through all those past three transmissions. So the very next statement in the Lord's Prayer is what we are looking at, trying to expatiate and see what the such light of the Spirit is going to reveal to us as the mystery that Christ was passing across in this model of prayer. See what it says. Now verse 10, what did He say?
Your kingdom come.
And that's it. That's the phrase. That's the phrase that will unlock what the Lord has to say to us today on this Knockout Series on Prayer. Jesus did say to the disciples that when you are praying, as soon as you talk about the name of the Father, as soon as you sanctify and set apart the name of the Father, in verse 9, you need to make a bold declaration, your kingdom come. What's the relevance of this to your prayer life? What's the relevance of this to you as a believer? Making a proclamation for the coming of the kingdom. I would like to call your attention to key words. There are just three words in that phrase. there's a your, and the your talks about possession. We know this kingdom is not your kingdom, it's not my kingdom, it is the Father's kingdom. So Jesus was trying to tell the disciples that before you came on the scene, before you began your prayer time, somebody had a kingdom, and it's not your kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It is his kingdom. So he said, your. And that's the first thing. Possession. Tells you that we are not even, it's not ours. And the second thing he said is, he said, you have a kingdom. He's talking about the Father has a kingdom. And then the third word in that phrase is, he said that that kingdom has to come. It would mean then, that kingdom had a location before, and then he's asking that kingdom to move from where it is to a new location. Those are three points in that phrase that we're going to explore today about this kingdom of the Father. That Jesus said, we as a believer, the disciples are supposed to what? Declare that it's meant to what? To come. Now the question you want to ask me is, ever since this prayer was prayed, before Jesus went to the cross, has the kingdom come yet? or what? Because, like I said, anytime you read the Lord's Prayer, every time you pray in quote the Lord's Prayer, we need to put our spiritual senses to work to make sure that we are not actually putting a new wine into old wine skin. Has the kingdom come yet? Let's see what Christ has to say about the kingdom, and let's see the relevance of this to your prayer life. And that's what we're going to look at today. Come with us quickly as we begin to use the pages of the scriptures to explore the relevance of this to the prayer life of a believer. Let's go quickly to Matthew 11. Again, this your kingdom come. This bold declaration of the kingdom. How does that fit in into your prayer life as a new covenant Christian? Matthew 11. Let's see what it says. Matthew 11 from verse 11. Can you read that slowly, please? Yes, please.
Verily I say unto you.
Okay, verily I say unto you.
Among them that are born of women.
Yes, among them that are born of women.
There are no reason they greater than John the Baptist.
That's interesting. So Jesus said, well, let's talk about those who were born naturally. And I want to think that if you're watching this today, you are thinking, well, among those that are born of women, is that not how everyone is born? Why is Jesus trying to categorize people that some people are born of what? Of women. You will have thought, what kind of statement is Christ making when everyone literally is born of women? I mean, of course, if you want to exempt Adam, anyway, I mean, apart from Adam, come all the way down to now, you would suppose everyone is born of women, even for those people, apart from Adam and Eve. I mean, even if you're going to talk of people who talk about having the case of doing some kind of medical technological advancement in the way they give birth to children, they still have to, in some cases, use the egg of what? Of the woman, the ovum of the woman. They still have to use a woman. Even if they actually grow the egg in the lab, they still have to get something from the woman. So the fact is, what is Christ trying to say? But he's saying among those born of women, he says John the Baptist.